It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Andy Iannocco, Alex Lindsay are here. Jason Snell has the week off, but Doc Rock's filling in. And, of course, the topic of the day, brand new iPads and a brand new Apple TV. We'll look at all the deets and help you decide which to buy next on Mac Break Weekly.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 840, recorded Tuesday, October 18th, 2022. Micro bacon and the new iPads. This episode of Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by 8Sleep. Good sleep is the ultimate game changer, and the pod is the ultimate sleep machine. Go to 8sleep.com/MacBreak to check out the pod and save $150 at checkout. 8Sleep currently ships within the U.S., Canada, the U.K., and select countries in the EU and Australia. And by New Relic, use the data platform made for the curious. Right now, you can get access to the whole New Relic platform and 100 gigabytes of data per month, free, forever. No credit card required. Sign up at newrelic.com/MacBreak. And by IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV's training solutions provide professionals and enterprise organizations the education needed to kickstart or advance IT careers and upskill through engaging training and virtual labs. Get 30% off when you sign up at itpro.tv/MacBreak and use the code MacBreak30 at checkout. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Apple. And I woke up this morning and the Apple Store was down. So I figure there's some news from Apple. Jason Snell taking the week off. Doc Rock is here. The Rock Doctor.
I was so going to send out a tweet and be like, Apple introduced a new product before Leo pressed record. See, people do change.
Thank you, Apple. Thank you. Thank you. Also, Mr. Andy Iannocco from WGBH in Boston. Hello, Andrew.
It's nice that glacier is starting to thaw. Like, maybe maybe
no.
They're extending olive branch.
I'm disappointed, but I'll tell you why in a second. Also, Alex Lindsay from 090.media and officehours.global. Were you interrupted in the midst of office hours?
We did. Someone mentioned it first thing, like the store's down, and then we just kept everyone, I think everybody had their window open, kept on refreshing, and then about 8:15, we were in the middle of some other conversation. We were like, okay, we have to stop and talk about what just happened here. And so we talked about it a little bit, and then we went back to what we were doing. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I was looking at the date stamp on Apple's press release, and it was 8 a.m. Pacific time. So you nailed it. And it's so before we get into this, it's new iPads. It's everything we knew. In fact, Mark Gurman yesterday said, oh, it's going to be tomorrow. New iPads. They also said that iPad OS and Mac OS Ventura will come out a week from yesterday. So the 24th, we kind of thought that as well. I guess Mark was right. No event. But where the hell's the laptops? That's all I want to know. You know why?
This was now that
because I spilled some coffee in my MacBook Pro 14.
I wasn't sure if that. Yeah.
I brought it into the guy, and he smelled it. He said, it "Smells like coffee." I said, "Yeah, I spilled coffee in it." He said, "Dude, usually when it still smells like coffee after you've, you know, dried it and cleaned it and let it sit for 3 days, it's what we call a tier four." A tier four. He said, "You're going to shed at least 4 tears when I tell you $1,300." Without Apple Care to fix it. This is the last year M1. So
now, is that why we were talking about rice before the show?
Yeah.
You had to buy that, like, that 10-pound sack, the 50-pound sack of basmati
exactly.
At the store.
Little hint here, though. Do it with uncooked rice, not cooked rice.
There you go.
I'm just saying. I wonder
if that high-level Koshi Hikari, like straight from Hokkaido rice, really dries out. Dries out your products better because it tastes better.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it dries out the product.
I ain't wasting that good rice on drying it out of Mac. The guy really said, dude, it's not worth fixing. I said, yeah. That's what happened to you, right, Andy?
In my case, it was Diet Dr. Pepper, and I fell asleep in a hotel room while trying to get the last of my mail done, and I had the glass in my hand, and I was in bed, and I fell asleep and just fell over. And but the good Lord quote was looking out for me, because there was an Apple store like right across like the parking lot, and I did have to deliver keynote at 10 a.m. that day. And
yikes.
Okay, I'm about to spend about $2,000 to make sure that I can still deliver that keynote. Oh well.
So, wow. You also probably were faced with a four-tier
lifeless.
So, and I was really hoping that maybe Apple would announce some new laptops. Do you think they will announce them next week, or is perhaps this not the year for the MacBook Pro?
I think the MacBook Pro and the Mini will still show some, you know, face right before the old Christmas shopping cycle, which, as we know, keeps getting moved back. But I'm thinking like, you know, end of the month, 29th is whatever that Tuesday is before the end of the month, or the very first Tuesday in November. I think they still have room to drop a new Mini and smaller notebooks.
They must have them, unless there's some sort of supply chain issue.
Or there's a big redesign. I mean, I don't think with the Mac Mini there'd be a redesign. I think it's just it would typically be a chip upgrade, you know, for
would
that.
Would they upgrade the studio or no?
Not yet.
I don't think
too
so.
Early.
Yeah.
Okay.
Too early.
Yeah.
That would piss off all of us.
Yeah. Well, the studio was a year ago, right?
No. Oh, not quite. Spring. 6 months.
This year.
Spring was it was April or May. Okay. I think I got mine April 24.
Okay. Apparently, I have some gene in me that makes me want to throw money at Apple for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
I need a new laptop.
Fashion bug.
So now the question begs the question, should I just get what's out there now? Because I kind of need it. I don't have a Mac laptop.
Well, how often do you wait? The question is how...
Every morning at breakfast. That's why I spilled coffee. And by the way, I should stop doing this, but I have the laptop there and I'm having my coffee. I put it down and then for some reason I whacked it.
Well, and I guess, when you're doing the coffee thing, are you doing email or are you doing?
No, I don't. As you probably noticed, I don't do email. I'm preparing for shows. I'm going through the news pretty much every time I have my laptop open. And this is day, morning, noon, and night. I'm going through my news feeds looking for stories for this fine program and others.
Right. No, I'm just curious because I do the similar thing, but I just do it on my phone.
On your phone?
I'm just going through news or Flipboard or other things like that.
Why I have to do it on a laptop is I need to really bookmark it. I need an easy way. Mm-hmm. So we have a whole workflow with Zapier and Pin, which is a sponsor, and Pinboard, where I will Pinboard it, and I'll copy the salient content, the paragraph, pinboard it with that in there, and it goes into a script that does all sorts of stuff. And I guess if I were just reading news, I'd probably the laptop, or maybe the iPad actually would even be better. Speaking of iPads.
You could do that on iPad. But, you know, if you're really forced to buy a notebook, I never thought I would say this, and I can't believe I'm going to say this on live internet TV. My MacBook Air is amazing, and I never wanted one. I always thought it doesn't match me because, you know, I'm an editor, so I need like this powerful thing.
End. Yeah.
Yo, this M2 baby right here has been my favorite notebook ever, and I might have gone psycho and, you know, filled it up. So it's
$2,500. Yep. I know. You know how I know? Because I bought it yesterday. And then I bought it. And then I thought, oh, I shouldn't have the midnight blue. That's the fingerprint magnet version. But then I canceled it this morning. I said, no, what am I crazy? You never buy a laptop the week before there's possibly new laptops. But maybe I don't need.
You won't need the editing spec. So, like, I bought mine just to test if editing spec or streaming spec would work.
Yeah.
And you don't need it. So, like, I love it, and it does work. It does edit. And as a matter of fact, I don't tell people you should do this, but it actually worked for streaming. I did it on the road the last 2 months. But after using this on the road for 2 months and not having to buy the editing version, I think that the M2 MacBook Air would suffice for almost majority of the Mac users out there. It's only those of us that are brainwashed into believing we need a pro. And that was me until I took this test. And I'm like, I've been spending too much on laptops for years because I have a Mac Studio.
Yeah. And I guess I most of the time when I go out now, I got my iPad, and I really just don't open my laptop that much. And if I have to do work, then I open it up. But I've got little Mac minis everywhere. I have a Mac mini at the office, a Mac mini at the house. And I'm kind of like, they have a monitor and I can sit down and I just don't go to a lot of places. So if I'm going, yeah, it's fine.
You're not alone, Doc, because the number one, Apple says it, the number one selling Mac is the MacBook Air. And Micah got the Midnight Blue M2 and he loves it. He said, in fact, I don't think I'm misquoting you, Micah. It's the best laptop he's ever had.
Me too.
You too.
Maybe yeah. Just and color, I can't believe I said that.
Make it faster? Does the color make it faster?
No, I got silver because fingerprints and beard. You got to put oil to make it dope, and then you touch anything, it's going to leave a fingerprint. So I'm like, as much as I wanted it, I was like, nope.
I wanted it, and then I canceled it. Yeah, and I think I'd probably get it.
If they made it the same color as this purple phone, though, trust you me, that sucker would have been in the box.
Okay, so. Yeah. All of this sounds like it's very self-indulgent, but what I'm really wanting to know is, are we not going to... Is it odd that Apple announced the iPads today and didn't announce anything else? Don't they have stuff?
I think new form factors coming, and I think that's the issue.
It's delaying it.
No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm curious. I don't know.
I don't know, but you notice that if they're going to be doing stuff that's just a non-event, just an announcement and a 10-minute like mini event video that they post to YouTube, they're going to want to make sure that they're all talking about the same message. So this was all iPad, some new stuff. Here's a new feature for the Apple Pencil. Here's a new hover mode for the Pencil that didn't exist before. Here's a new Magic Keyboard Folio with a detachable keyboard. Now the Folio has function keys. I think it makes kind of more sense, particularly since Ventura is still indefinite date of release, to hold off on the Mac OS stuff and make that another non-event 10-minute video of release, so that you're basically bunching all the news together, like as part of like. I don't think this says anything worrisome about a Mac Mini or a new MacBook.
To me, and I said this before, it's the difference between the air slowly leaking out of a balloon in a sad and a big explosion. If I honestly do not understand why Apple would bypass the opportunity to have an event that gets a lot of attention. This is I bet you a lot of people, not the people listening to this show, but a lot of people, normal people, don't even know that this stuff came out. By the way, do you know there's a new Apple TV? What a great way to just throw it away, right?
Well, but then again, look, people are on different cycles for buying phones. Every single year, there's a group of people that are looking at buying a new phone. Not necessarily the people who bought a new phone last year, but every single cycle, they know that they've got to let people know, here's what the new phone is. Maybe this is the year you should actually go forward on that. I know you thought about it last year, but definitely do it this year. Whereas an iPad and definitely a Mac is more of a thoughtful purchase. I think most people, you interact with a desktop computer or a laptop a lot differently than a phone. It's a lot harder to notice that, oh, you know what, this is pretty slow. Oh, you know what, that screen is kind of like grubby and cracked right now. I think that you definitely want to have the dogs and the ponies out for the phone show. You definitely want it out for the earbuds, which are an affordable sort of thing. Definitely for the watch, which also are really, really affordable compared to everything else. For the Macs, though, you don't know when they're going to come out. You don't necessarily need to have the dogs and ponies out here.
They did make a video. You can see it on apple.com or on their YouTube. Oh,
and on YouTube, 579,000 people looked at it in the last 3.5 hours.
Point. Okay.
So, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. And looking at the production value of that, while they didn't do an event, this video cost at least as much as most people's events. You know, the video. So we don't want to underestimate
what
video.
Makes it so good.
Well,
everything.
So, I mean, just remember that every time you see a close up of somebody, you know, and the scanning across the top of something, you know, just assume that that's $25,000. You know, $25,000 to $50,000, because the thing is that they're going to set that whole stage up. They're going to probably have one set that they built that looks like a house.
Yeah.
When they want to do it, they're going to get one or two of those shots a day.
Yeah.
They're going to have a big old crew of 25 or 30 people.
Moving on.
At all the lighting.
Set up for the next shot. Yeah.
But like, you know, like some of these, like the ones who want to cross the keyboard are probably motion control camera or a Trinity rig. And so these are all things that are, you know, complicated, you know, things to do. And then there's computer graphics.
So let's show you this graphics. One. This is what you're talking about is let's show this. That's a motion controlled shot. You can see
it could be a motion control. It could be that could be also just a steady cam, you know, moving around.
That's that's a motion control. Look how smoothly that stopped.
It can be done with a Trinity rig underslung. You know, so those are the kind of things. But like that's probably a little.
Did you see there's even a little around. Dog in the camera lens?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some effort going into this. Not to mention the cost of the manicure.
So, I was going to say that just now. The manicure is on point, right? You got to give her that.
Very on fleek, yeah. And even though she's pretending to be in her chalet somewhere, I think all a fake.
This is a couple
set,
months.
Right?
This is a couple months of planning and storyboards and people and things. I mean, you know, there's nothing accidental about any of this, and the level that Apple works at. It's probably, you know, it's solid $1 million, couple million dollars to put this together.
That's nothing to them.
No, it's not, but I'm just saying that most people, I do a lot of events. Most
don't
people, when you say it's $1.5 million or $2 million dollars for your event, they go, ooh, that's a lot of money. So anyway, instead of doing the event, they made this video, and the video probably describes it as well as the event would. You know,
absolutely.
You know,
and I will grant you that this is the perfect ad for it. It's only 19 minutes long. Or, I'm sorry, 9 minutes long.
And, 9 minutes.
And they got 600,000 views. You know, they didn't mention the Apple TV in it, though. And in fact, I don't even see if I were in the Apple TV division, I would just feel like I was just slapped silly with a trout.
Yeah, but what was in the announcement that is in any way interesting or exciting? And also, it's Apple. If there's any opportunity for them to produce a really, really big live event, it's at the time when they create a new Apple TV that really says, here is triumphantly and convincingly why you should give us $150 for our Apple TV instead of $50 for a dongle or a small box that will do really most of what most people want that want streaming box to do. I mean, streaming boxes are so anonymous that you really have to say, here is brand new content we've created that takes advantage of HDR, that takes advantage of 120 frames per second, that takes advantage of the 4K in ways that your $40 or $20 Walmart dongle absolutely can't even touch. And here's why you would want to have it. So that's a difficult
It is a important point, though, that there is a now $129 Apple TV. 4K. So that is, so the Apple TV has always been great and we love it, but it's always been way overpriced compared to a Roku. It's still twice what a Roku would cost, but that's a big deal that they offer that. That one does not have Ethernet, which is kind of a non-starter for a lot of people. That you're going to have to pay for the Wi-Fi plus Ethernet, pay a little bit more. They put an A15 Bionic in it. That's a very high end. I don't even know why they need such a high end chip, but and gigabit Ethernet. That's great. Thank you. It seems like this is kind of overpowered, but you're saying, Andy, who cares? Ho hum.
Well, only that I think that most people are. They're not buying high. They're not shopping for a high performance streaming box. They're shopping for, I want YouTube on my TV. I want Hulu and Disney Plus on my TV. This $50 thing from Google gives me Hulu on my TV. Great. Here's $50. Give me the 4K thing. It's when Apple, I mean, we can appreciate that. Oh, wow. That's a really high powered chip for what this is delivering right now. I wonder if this is indicative of a future plan of in the next 2 or 3 years that ties into more fitness apps, more relatable gaming apps, more VR, et cetera, et cetera. Most of the people, I think, they really have to be told, here is why this is $130 versus $50. So this is why it's always been a little bit of a mystery to me when Apple's going to drop that other shoe and say, this is why this is an expensive box. I mean, in the other room, I do have a $150 streaming box, but it is capable of acting as its own media server. It can run a web browser. It can run all kinds of apps. It's a gaming platform. It does all of these things, which kind of justifies it being a $150 or $200 box. I don't think that Apple has successfully made that argument to people that here is beyond having the ease of use that comes with having another Apple box on your network filled with other Apple boxes. Here is why you'd want to spend an extra $100 to $150 on our product as opposed to other products.
And I can just say, as someone who streams to all those boxes, that the Apple TV is a lot better than the other ones.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to say that.
But it's such they are such trash.
But in the store, you don't know that.
From a live streaming, from a live streaming perspective, they are all the other boxes are just trash, you know? And so
100%.
So the Apple TV is just so much easier. All the Apple products are so much easier for us to develop for. So if we want to shoot, so if we want to send a live stream with HDR and Atmos and you know, high quality video and, you know, really, you know, all of those things, the only thing, like, I'm about to start doing office hours, actually. We're going to be testing Atmos and Vision and 4K. And I've made it clear to everybody there that I'm not going to try to do anything else with Android or Windows because they're, until they get their stuff together, like, I'm not going to play because it's just a disaster. It's a wasteland. And so from a live streaming perspective, and for most people, it doesn't matter if they're, and when I say live streaming, I'm not talking about, there's live streaming, which is what I do. There's streaming, which is Apple TV and Netflix. And those are all pretty much the same. So they play back videos that aren't live. But when you start talking about how does my Thursday night football look, it will look better on your, it will look better with better processing.
Amazon was, or was it 100%. Amazon? Somebody was, I think it was Amazon, was streaming the baseball playoffs in 4K. You would really like that on the Apple.
But they'll say things are 4K and they'll say that they're HDR, but there is a lot of versions of that that are.
Yeah. Well, that's what's interesting. So I think this Apple TV deserved more attention. Obviously, we're giving it more attention. We haven't even talked about the iPads. We will. but I think a big price drop is a big story. It's still more expensive than the other guys, but now you can maybe say, well, $129, 64 gig storage. If you want Ethernet, add $20 and you'll get double the storage. Significantly less than the old Apple TV.
Here's the thing that every time this conversation comes up, it cracks me up because it skips a major portion. Okay. As a person that's multilingual, when I walk into a place where I see a bunch of stuff in Japanese, I immediately can recognize that I know what it is. As an Apple person, I have this computer, I have my phone, I have my iPad. I'm not talking about the tech guy here. I mean, it's a random Apple person. When you walk into the Target or the Walmart or the Best Buy and you go to look at a streaming device, your brain just connects to what you know, what you feel, and you understand the quality is not even a thought. The NVIDIA Shield is an amazing box. They don't sell them at Target, so they don't count.
Yeah.
Those are people that are seeking a gaming platform plus a streaming platform plus something that I can run emulators illegally plus. That doesn't matter to the normal person that goes in to buy a streaming box that matches the rest of their kit. Now, again, last portion, when I go from a person that ran a TV store for 30 years, when I go to put this in my setup, of all of the boxes on the market right now, which one looks the best? Style is still a thing, and it has to pass the Karen filter. Mine, she's Karen. She's not one of those people.
He can't stand it. Be careful with the Karen filter.
No, here's what's funny. And I tell her go by her middle name. Her middle name's Yoko, not any better.
Oh, you cannot win. Karen Yoko. Wow. Yeah,
so I just Yoko say, I did, just call her small.
Yoko did so much for John Lennon. John Lennon would not have survived the 70s physically or financially without Yoko. Let's make sure
I agree. But for her to want to put something that's seen in the living room, and she's a realtor, so everything in the living room has to look a certain way, NVIDIA Shield's not getting in my house. I have one, but it's not in the house. It's hiding down here in the studio.
In there, yeah.
Yeah, it cannot live in the living room.
Can I say something? I think, Doc, I think you made exactly the right point. I like the fact that people will go into a Target and buy the thing that is going to appeal to them. That there are people that are not going to, they're going to look at the $150 NVIDIA Shield and say, well, I don't care if it's like HD upscaling to 4K. I understand two of those words. What I do understand is $49 versus $179 for this NVIDIA Shield. And I don't deny that there is going to be a quality improvement on some content for the Apple TV. What I really wish that Apple did was that they said, we acknowledge that there are people that are only going to come in, really, that they really have a price in their mind that I don't know why anybody's charging more than $50-$60 for a streaming box. Even Google, they have their $50 4K streaming dongle, and they recently came out with a $30 just HD only, no 4K one, because the price is so sensitive. So I just wish that people going into the Apple store would have the option of having a more affordable, even if it were like $50, $60, even if it were a way to stream 4K on an Apple device that has Apple's sensibilities regarding privacy and security, Apple's integration with all the other stuff that people are going to have in their house that runs with Apple. I just wish that, there was an option for people who are that, who do have that kind of price sensitivity. And I just wonder why Apple doesn't go for that.
I'm surprised they even have two SKUs, like 129 to 149. Like I don't like the 129. I would never get because doesn't have an Ethernet cable. Like it's like that's
well,
crazy.
I think a lot of people have Wi-Fi only. I know
that's crazy. Just
well,
like,
also the bin. I'm sorry. No.
Do you need the more RAM, or is that just you get an Ethernet for $20 or $40?
The storage.
For gaming, right? More than anything else.
Well, also more apps. I mean, I really wish there was more attention paid to how valuable it is to have, even if you're not downloading huge games. I'm saying that on some of the dongles I've tested out, it's like you've got your four that you absolutely need, and then maybe there's this one extra streaming service that you only use for breaking news, but there's not enough room for it, and you have to start to choose. So I think that having more storage is a really big feature.
And what happens is that if you're on Wi-Fi and your AP has any trouble, what happens is the Apple TV goes, oh, you can't handle this bandwidth. And it'll just drop down to the next. It'll go into the manifest and go, they can't handle the highest quality video. So let's go down to one. And then it'll go down to that. And a lot of times once it goes down once, it stays there, because it's not going to, because it doesn't want to have you see it glitch. So Wi-Fi is something, you shouldn't watch. You shouldn't watch stuff with Wi-Fi because what it does is it jumps down to a lower quality. And almost all of them, once they jump down for your show, until you leave the show and come back to it, they're not going to keep on trying to play with it, because that, the changing of the quality, people notice more than the actual quality. So it will, it's making a decision about that. And very quickly, you'll notice when you get on a lot of streaming stuff, it's pretty rough for the first couple seconds, because it's going to give you something that'll pop up. And then what it's doing is it's looking at how long does it take to get to your device, and how much work did your device have to do? And then it goes, okay, they can go to this. But as soon as it has a glitch in that top tier, which may come from your Wi-Fi AP, it'll dump down to a lower tier. And that's sometimes why you see more macro blocking, sometimes why you see lower resolution, is because you had a problem with your AP. And Ethernet oftentimes will get you past, a lot of those issues. The added storage is for games. There's also things that could be done with the Apple TV that maybe not aren't used right now, that that more storage would be useful.
Suspiciously overpowered. Yeah.
It also supports now, and you can explain why this is important to me, Alex, HDR 10 plus.
Yeah. So HDR 10 plus is basically the companies that Samsung and others that don't want to pay for Dolby Vision, they don't want to pay the license. So HDR 10 is, I don't want to pay for Dolby Vision, but otherwise it's pretty close to Dolby Vision. It's not
Dolby
quite
Vision's
as good.
The best.
Dolby
that's
Vision's
what you'd
the best,
want.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what Disney Plus offers is Dolby Vision. I think the HDR in a lot of streaming services is Dolby Vision.
You have three basic ways of managing the HDR. You have HLG, which is just kind of like, you don't have to manage anything. It's not very great. It's not great, but it's okay. And everything can use it because it doesn't have any metadata. So the HLG is always the same, and it's just kind of the vanilla, HDR. Then you have HDR 10. What that does is it sets certain metadata that says this is the brightest point and this is the midpoint of this piece of work. And then it also sets trims for the red, green, and blue that allow that to be managed. But that's for the entire movie that you're watching. What HDR 10 does, as well as Dolby Vision, is HDR 10 sets that max CLL and max fill, as well as the trims, it sets those per frame, or it's per scene, but really per frame, so that it can do that at every scene. That way it can adjust to whatever, if you're going indoor, outdoor, everything is managed at every scene. Dolby Vision has additional features and additional dynamic range that's out there that most consumers wouldn't necessarily notice, but I wouldn't buy a TV without I would buy a TV that had both HDR 10 as well as Dolby Vision. What Apple is acknowledging is that Sony and Samsung and others make TVs that don't have Dolby Vision
because
they don't want
to
pay
for it.
And they want to do HDR 10. So it supports HDR 10 now, which is just basically saying it's going to read all that metadata and hand it back frame by frame.
Yeah. TV streaming is just so, I can't think of another category that's so ecumenical, where there are people that I absolutely don't care about anything except for the content. I don't care about the quality. I've got a 12-year-old TV that still works, and that's fine with me. And then there are people that are like, I really do I watch movies on this thing. I watch sports on this thing. And if you just if you just give me a hint that I can get better quality by spending another $100 on a dongle, on a streaming box, or another $1,000 on a screen, I will absolutely do that. And there's every step in between. I've got a 4K HDR TV. It's 6-7 years old. I will admit that I've committed the sin of placing a nice TV next to a window. All right, it's the best place for it to have all my friends like be able to see the same thing around my sectional sofa, and this is why it's so great to have these conversations, because there are things that are going to be critical for some people, absolutely not even an issue for other people, and everybody really needs to be addressed in some way.
All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll talk about the iPads. And the chat room has noticed something that's missing from the Apple TV and the iPads. A big change, but that's just a tease, because that's coming up next. Our show today brought to you, I'm so glad you're here, Doc Rock, filling in for Jason Snell. Good to have you. Great to have Andy Iannocco, Alex Lindsay. We got the experts in-house to tell you what you should do, to tell me what I should do. But first, I want to tell you what a great night's sleep I had last night. Thank you to my 8 Sleep. I love my 8 Sleep. I've got the Pod 2 Pro cover. Now they have the Pod 3. I love 8 Sleep so much, I'm thinking of upgrading, although my Pod 2 is really, really good. What does the 8 Sleep do? It is a mattress, or in our case with a cover, the cover on your existing mattress, that both heats and cools your bed. That's important. It doesn't just warm it up. It can cool it down. Because it turns out one of the keys to a great night's sleep is sleeping cool. One of the reasons more than 30% of Americans struggle with sleep is because they feel hot at night. And it's not just in the summertime. Because in the winter, you heat the house, you got a lot of blankets, you still can get overheated. So the way I have my 8 Sleep set, and by the way, one of the best things about the 8 Sleep is it dynamically cools and heats both sides of the bed. So I've got my settings. Lisa's got hers. She gets the optimal sleep temperature setting, and I get mine. I like to start the night warm. I get under the covers at bedtime, and it's cozy and comfortable. But then it slowly drops the temperature imperceptibly and cools it down. And that's where your deep sleep hits. And then in the morning, it's kind of my wake-up ritual starts to warm up. I know it's time to get up, not because I've heard an alarm, but because I'm starting to get a little warmer and feeling good. It's nice. But that's me. You will have your own choices. And the wonderful thing about this is the 8 Sleep has biometric tracking as well. So it will watch your sleep and adjust accordingly. That's really nice. They call that the sleep doctor. Dynamic cooling and heating with biometric tracking. You can add the pod cover to any mattress. It goes as cool as 55 degrees, as hot as 110 degrees, or anywhere in between. And it's a very gradual ramp up and down. Clinical data shows 8 Sleep users experience up to 19% increase in recovery, up to 32% improved sleep quality, up to 34% more deep sleep. I'll tell you what, 34% more deep sleep. That's all. That's life. That's the best thing that ever happened to you. I mean, it can help with all sorts of health issues, decrease the risk of heart disease, lower blood pressure, reduce the risk of Alzheimer's. I mean, there's so much evidence that a good night's sleep is critical to long-term health. And I tell you, when I get that extra half hour of deep sleep, holy cow, I just feel so great the next day. I'm confident my mind and body are moving through the restorative sleep stages that are vital for physical recovery, hormone regulation, mental clarity. The new Pod 3, we got the Pod 2, as I said, but the new Pod 3 has doubled the amount of sensors, so it's even more accurate sleep and health tracking, delivering you the best sleep experience on earth. Kevin Rose told me about this. I admit I was a little skeptical. Amy Webb was on the show. These are the two of the smartest people I know. Amy Webb was on the show. She said, oh, and she got it. Now, both of them are saying, oh, Leo, you got to get this. So I finally, we got it last spring. So I've been through a kind of a cool spring, hot summer, and now cooler winter nights with it. And I could tell you, it's not magic, but it feels like it. 8Sleep, E-I-G-H-T, spell it out, 8Sleep.com/MacBreak. Sleep cozy this fall. We'll save you $150 at checkout on the pod. 8Sleep currently ships within the U.S., Canada, the U.K., select countries in the EU, and Australia. I know you're heading into a hot summer, Australia. You really want this thing. I could tell you it really saved us during that heat wave. 8Sleep.com/MacBreak. It's such a good idea. 8Sleep.com/MacBreak. Thank you, 8Sleep, for supporting MacBreak Weekly. And you support us, by the way. It's so important when you use that address. That's how they say, was it working? 8Sleep.com/MacBreak. Thank you. So the chat room pointed this out. I haven't checked it yet. They say the new Apple TV remote, Type-C charging.
Hooray.
None of the new iPads have Lightning. Type-C charging.
I think the $329 one still has it. Like the
available
ones.
Oh, shoot.
I have to double check.
I'll check the newsroom. You know, Apple, it's funny. It buries that information. I've been trying to find it. They want to make a big deal about it, obviously. So let's talk about these iPads here. And by the way, all of this is exactly as rumored, right? Were there any surprise? That maybe that hover thing is a surprise. We didn't know about that.
Hover was new.
Yeah.
I haven't heard about that. Yeah. And that seems like, I can't wait to get my hands on that. The idea that if the sensors are good enough that if you just hover the pencil over the screen, it will show you the target below it. So it's like 3D touch, but in the opposite direction from the screen. And for art apps, like just know where you're about to play to plunk down your pointer is just a big deal.
I think that sensing it is a huge one to me. You know,
I think that the other thing that potentially could happen there is spray painting. So now you're not touching the surface. You can go over it and lay layers of spray paint, which has been something that you can do with the high-end Wacom tablets and so on and so forth, is not actually touch the surface. So it'll be really good interesting.
Point. For photo retouching as well, yeah, good point.
Yep.
You can see what you're doing to the lights and the shadows while you're doing it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for vibrant colors, and they are vibrant, frankly, except for the silver. They look like the iPhone C. Remember, they really are very colorful.
Yep.
Yeah,
they're very personable. I'm glad to see
the gray one looks
more
color.
they keep breaking new ground on new ways to have words for describe the word gray.
And this is a redesign, right? The squared off case is kind of more like the iPad Pros from last year. So that's
the all pixel screen too. Which is good, or, you know, it's all glass, so the button's on the top instead of being in the bottom.
More than that, the camera's on the top instead of being on the side. What a big difference. You know, I might have to get my mom this because she's always looking in the wrong place, putting her thumb on the side.
Yep.
Putting it on the top now makes it more like a laptop, which is very smart. Ultra wide 12 megapixel front camera, 12 megapixel back camera, they say updated. A USB-C port. This is on the new iPad. So it is USB-C. It's not Lightning.
Yeah.
It supports a wide range of accessories. Wi-Fi 6. I thought it was 6E. The Pro is 6E. Okay.
Yes.
Not that that matters for most people, but, you know, it's the first iPad with 6E, I believe. New Magic Keyboard Folio. It doesn't have that weird lift up thing anymore. It's just a regular flat
kickstand.
It's got a kickstand, which actually I think is probably better because now you're lying the keyboard flat on the surface, right? So it's going to have less give, I would think. I don't know.
Maybe. But also look at the row of function keys on the thing. That is, they did so much to make this like inexpensive, like $450 tablet into why on earth would you even consider buying a Windows tablet? Because this is, we're making so many accommodations towards the real world of people who are like, man, I would love this, but it's kind of a close race. And, oh, I just can't deal with Lightning. Or, oh, man, I would love this. It's a close race, but I really need actual function keys for a lot of the virtualization that I do. This is such a compelling product in so many ways.
It's very exciting. Greg Joswiak said, we're so excited to bring the completely redesigned iPad to our most advanced iPad lineup ever. Why even bother, Greg?
I'm just waiting for, like, you know, this one isn't as good as the last one, but you know, we've had some supply issues, and
it's funny, they always get the crap taken out of them for saying that the next one is the best one ever, because of course it is. But I'm trying to find out, why do they do it? Like, what makes it a thing, especially when you know everyone's teasing you, because there are always new people being brought to the ecosystem.
Oh, no, because it's funny until they stop.
Well, here's the thing that's hilarious. It's starting to come up in, like, the regular comedy stuff, right? So SNL did something, and they had a joke recently, and they're talking about the iPhone. Oh, yeah, this one, the best one ever. So, like, now it's getting down
everybody
to where regular
knows.
People,
yeah.
not just the nerds are doing it.
Yeah.
But I think the only thing that I can process in my head is they realize there's new people coming to the ecosystem all the time. So for them, this language is new, and it makes them feel like they're getting in on something dope. But it's funny to us.
Is the display slightly bigger, right? It's now 10.9 inch instead of 10.2. So they have reduced the bezels. It's probably as much as they're ever going to, because you still need to hold it somewhere. Liquid Retina display, A14 Bionic. First ever landscape front camera, USB-C. I think the USB-C is telling. I mean, there's no lightning in any of this.
This is the difference between Apple Silicon and Intel is to the Macs. The difference between USB-C and Lightning is to the iPads, or really every other product.
Yeah,
if feature. You don't have a USB-C port, maybe you should hold off another year.
By the way, iPad OS 16, which they said will be coming out for all of us with iPads. Well, all of us with iPad Pros and some of us with regular iPads on Monday. Your order, which can be made today for both the new Apple TV and the new iPads, is delivered Wednesday. Not tomorrow. Whoa. October 26th. Not tomorrow. Don't get your hopes up. Are you going to order this, Doc Rock?
No, I have my M1 iPad Pro, which I absolutely love.
I don't feel any. And, yeah, I'm the same way. I don't feel any need.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely not going to switch to M2 yet, because like a ding dong, again, this is normal for me. When I got the M1 iPad Pro, I filled it, so it was 2,500 bones. But one thing I just realized, I forgot that iPad 16 wasn't out already, because I've been on the beta for so long. But I literally forgot it didn't exist, because we have it on the phone, right? So yeah, that's kind of funny to see that announcement. I'm like, what do you mean coming out? It's been out.
iPad OS. We don't have that yet.
Yeah.
You have
totally
the beta.
Forgot.
Yeah.
Public yeah.
Beta.
So it is so good that I literally forgot that I've been using beta. That's a good thing for the people who will be upgrading, you know, come this week or next week, is that it is really, really stable. And yes, I don't use that stage thing on it, though, because that just freaks me out.
I will be interested. Freeform is coming out with iPad OS. We thought maybe it was going to be delayed, so I will be very interested to see what you think of that. I feel like there's some stealth thing they're doing there with Freeform, or maybe it's just another one of those apps that somebody wrote and they threw it in, and then now ignore it for the rest of its life.
It was a nice reassuring piece of news. I have to correct myself. I said that the release of Data Ventura is indeterminate, but I forgot.
No, it's Monday as well.
That was exactly. So knowing that they're not they're also, I think the announcement also said that yes, Stage Manager will be part of Ventura. It's not like they're going to say, oh, that's going to be there's a technology preview in place and for early betas, but then you will get we will deliver the actual product in about a month after that. The fact that they're shipping Stage Manager next Monday is good. I mean, at least they feel as though it's stable enough that it's not going to break people's heads. It might break people's heads the new user interface, but again, that's like we talked about last week. If they don't want to use it, people don't have to use it. But you have to put it out there and get people start to hammer on it before they can figure out how to make it even better.
Pricing is a little higher. They're still going to offer the ninth generation base model for $329. This one. Kind of more, it's not, they didn't label it an Air, but it's kind of more Air priced, $449. If you want cellular, $599. That's a bigger bump. It used to be a $129 bump, right? And now it's a $150 bump to get cellular in there. Maybe that's the 5G tax. It'll come in 64 gig and 256 gig configurations, nothing in between. You either get it all or nothing. By the way, Apple Pencil first generation only, right? So is that a disappointment? Do we want to use the second generation on this thing? I guess that's for the pros.
Well, how do you, if it's USB-C, how do you charge?
Oh.
Charge.
You got to have a cable. You got to have a little cable.
That adapter came with it.
Oh,
okay. They had that tiny little adapter.
Yeah. You have to get some adapter now to like plug it in.
A dongle of shame,
yeah.
As Dave Schaub calls it in our chat room. A dongle of shame. Wow.
And most of us lost that little nubbin that came with it like years ago. But also, and even the Apple TV a while back came with a little nubbin.
Oh, did it?
That was so somewhere around here I have it, but I use a second gen pencil. So here's the thing that's amazing to me, and Alex mentioned this earlier. Now, in iPad game, we got a lot of SKUs. Like, that's un-Apple. Like, there are a metric
there's three,
Apple
basically three levels, but then there's sizes.
Well, because now we have Pro in two sizes. We have iPad. We have iPad 4th gen, iPad 9, I mean, 10th gen,
and
iPad
I will say,
9th gen.
Do we have Air anymore? Is the Air gone?
Yes. No, it's still there. Oh, that's what I'm saying. We have a lot of SKUs right now.
Wonder why. That's interesting. So they didn't kill the
Air. I feel like Apple's been doing a lot of SKUs for a lot of things. And I will say, I agree that with the doc that it's...
They're getting away from the Steve Jobs thing.
Yeah. And I, to some degree, I see it in the sense that we use it for different things. I have a bunch of minis that I use for one thing, and mine personal ones are the pros. And, you know, we've used a bunch of things. So it's, I kind of get it, but it's still kind
the mini was not updated, was it?
Last year sometime.
There was a rumor that they were going to update the mini. I guess not.
Oh, you know, not this time. And Andy's right. Like, the mini is definitely one of the iPads that is, to use an Andy word, ecumenical. It is religious. Everybody that has a mini, don't give me nothing
else. I love my
mini. I want my mini.
Yeah. And I don't need an upgrade on my mini. to be honest,
mini is like the Converse Chuck Taylors back in the day. Chuck Taylors for certain people were religion. Like, I don't need all of these fancy shoes with these pumpings and straps. I just needed Chucks.
Yeah.
And so to me, the mini is much like Chucks, and it comes in all those colors.
And I use my pencil too, and I charge it on the side of my iPad mini.
Yeah.
So you're right. There's a lot of SKUs. There's the iPad mini from $499. The iPad from $329, the new iPad from $449, the iPad Air from $599, and the iPad Pro from $799. Too many SKUs.
I do think the iPad.
What's the difference between an iPad and iPad Air? You know, that's going to confuse people in the stores.
Yeah. I think the iPad Air needs to go. I see so many situations which I would say no, just get the regular iPad and max it out. Don't spend the extra money on that. Yeah. Or I would say, oh, you know what? For you, spend the extra money and get the iPad Pro, even if you have to get like one that doesn't have that much storage on it, because you are absolutely going to adore that thing. It's hard to know where the iPad Air exists.
Yeah, why pay $150 more for an iPad Air? I don't understand.
Yeah, we said that when the regular came out. When the 9th gen came out, we said that the new one passed the Air. And that was almost a year ago.
Well, of course, the Air has the M1 chip, but dirty little secret. So is the A14 is the M1 chip. So I don't know why. That's an interesting game Apple's playing with that. I mean, I guess maybe the M1 has more cores or something. Or it's an interesting game. I would say, yeah, you don't need the Air. It's got more muted colors. It's not as candy colored.
Yeah, but that's also a really good indication for the new colorways on the iPad. Nothing that really gives me hope that they really are going to release MacBook Airs with like four or five really exciting colors, not the four different shades of gray, but like, nope, if you want purple, we'll give you purple. You want, you want red, but you don't want any money going to charity. We will sell you red without giving money to charity. It's such a vibe. It's such an Apple thing to do. And I'm amazed that Apple isn't doing it.
I put a case on the thing anyway. In fact, that was one of the saddest points about bringing in my MacBook Pro with the coffee in it is that it was pristine on the outside because I'd had kept it in the case. You know, all the stickers I put on the case, not in the...
Well, see, for me, it's like, it's all about the stickers.
Stickers, I know, but I stick on the case. Where'd you get a Bowie NASA sticker?
Oh, that's the 75th anniversary, 75th birthday anniversary one. I got it at the David Bowie pop-up store in Soho last year.
That's why I love stickers. In fact, that's another thing. I'm sad I have to retire my sticker collection. which I thought I would have for a longer time than, you know, 9 or 10 months or whatever.
Oh, but that's it's.
Should yeah, I buy? Should I be buying? That was the other thing they said. Do you have Apple Care? I said no. I said should I be buying Apple Care if I'm going to spill coffee in my Mac?
I don't know if that saves you, but I can tell you that I get Apple Care with all the Apple products. It's the one I don't do it with anything else. I don't buy any of those kind of services, but I've definitely got my money's worth because you get benefit of the doubt all the time. Like it's just like, oh,
yeah, I'm going to have to start doing that. I don't buy it because like you, I have I know the history of these upsell warranty extensions is just really terrible.
It's been so easy when something went wrong to bring it in and it just gets sorted out and really fast. And it's just been,
get mad at me for confessing this online, but what the hell? I retired a long time ago. We definitely have a different thought process when you're looking at an idea. Should I replace this computer or should I fix it? If it's under Apple Care, most of the genies, we will just replace it faster because it's technically a different money source as far as
that's
goes.
So you're speaking as a former genius.
Yes.
That's good. Into the mindset of the genius. So the genius looks at it and says, you don't have Apple Care. When he's going, oh, that means, yeah, you're screwed. But if I had Apple Care, still, wouldn't I have to pay a lot to get it fixed? It's not.
Well, most people don't realize this. Apple Care is it's the same company, but it's a different division. So the money is slightly, you know what I mean? So, I tell my people, I tell my people, don't buy your product from Best Buy or Target. I know it's closer, but go to the Apple Store. And they're like, why? From the Apple Store is our inventory. So in the rare situation where you get a limit, right? So you bought a brand new MacBook Air 2 and it's just not good. We can just hand you another one right out of stock. It's our money. Mm. The other stores have to send it for repair because they paid for the inventory.
That's what he said. He said, we're going to have to mail it in.
Uh huh. Yeah. It's their money. Yeah, so you should always, when possible, buy directly from the source because we literally will hand you a brand new one and let you walk out the door, but the other stores will repair it, even if it was a dead on arrival type situation.
Damn it.
And it's so hard. Like the Apple Care is harder to connect to it. It's harder to prove, you know, when you bought it and everything else. It's so easy if you just buy it from the Apple Store. I have bought them from the AT&T store, from Best Buy, from lots of other places, and I stopped that a couple years ago because it was just always so much less pain when anything went wrong or anything needed to be managed. Taking back to the Apple Store is so much easier.
Yeah.
Live and learn. 1,300 schmackers to repair that thing. It just doesn't make any sense to spend that kind of money, right?
So real quick question before we switch. What do you guys think about the new style of Apple Care, which I did for my phone, which is weird because I'm never going to keep it more than a year. But the concept of doing the monthly or the never-ending Apple Care, right? Does that lean towards the cleaning up these devices are disposable mentality?
Like as long as you keep paying in my case for the iPhone 14 Pro, $13.49 a month, we will fix it.
Yeah.
That's for the theft plus.
Do you like that better than the closed-in Apple Care?
I just don't like stacking up subscriptions. So I'd rather just pay for it and know that for the next couple of years I don't think about it. And usually
you pay for 2 years or you do get it monthly until you stop it.
Yeah.
It's a difficult decision. I guess so. You're saying if I get a new laptop, I have never spilled coffee in my laptop. I've spilled it in the mixer once.
I haven't spilled coffee in my laptop. I once spilled in the old one. Remember the ones that we had batteries on both sides that would slide in?
Yeah.
And I remember it was like black.
But then you have a shot because you can pop the batteries.
What happened is I spilled a Nalgene bottle full, 1 liter full. It just fell down and just emptied itself on my keyboard. And the first thing I did is just grab those batteries and pull them out. And then I sat it in a bag of rice, like what you normally do.
Because you're not going to short it once you. But there's no way to remove the power from that thing.
Exactly. And yeah. I left it there for 3 or 4 days. First, I let it just sit out, and then I put it in some. It wasn't rice; it was actually a desiccant.
He's a professional, folks. He has.
We have it for our equipment, so they're like really large balls of those, and you put them. We used to have the thing to dry them out, where we had a plate with holes in it and we put the desiccant below it, and we put whatever the device was on top of it, close it.
So your advice is to both buy AppleCare and a lot of desiccant.
Desiccant, you can get it in jars, and you can put it back in the oven and re-desiccate it.
So
it's super useful, yeah.
Supposedly, you can do that with little packets, too, but I've never.
The bag of the Fresh Step crystals is probably the best thing that I found when I was testing it a while ago.
What's it called?
Fresh Step crystals.
Kitty litter, not the clay stuff, but like the crystal stuff. That is actually like that's almost the same desiccant material that comes in packets, and you can buy it for like nothing.
Wait a minute. Fresh Step kitty litter is the same desiccant as you buy?
The crystals. The crystal
but it doesn't
stuff,
have any yeah. kitty litter in it. That's the key. It's all clean and
Not used. I'm saying not used.
That's
I know how desperate you are.
You can get it for next to nothing.
The perfect size for the laptop, but still resist.
Without the kitty litter, it's really cheap. With the kitty litter, it is like they'll give it to you. Like it's just practically a giveaway.
Is this what you're talking about? Premium crystals, easy care litter, Fresh Step, pretty and powerful, easier cleanup, stronger odor protection, and light on paws. This is what you're talking about?
I believe so. Yep.
So get that. But there is litter in there as well, clay in there as well, or no? There's no clay.
It is the whatever stuff it is. If it's just plain the crystals, the clay could be a problem, especially with moisture. The other thing I want to put into people's brains, like if you're trying to program your immediate reaction, apart from just saying blank 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 things I cannot say on the show, if your instinct is immediately your first thing is to flip your laptop over so that the keyboard is
basically.
I had that same thing with my not with that was dead. Cause again, I was asleep. It was 4 hours of marinating. Oh. It was, I woke up 5 hours later.
He said, I can smell coffee. That means it's been marinating.
let me tell you, cause I woke up at 5 a.m. and like, oh gosh, I must've fallen asleep. Oh gosh. And all I could see. And the thing is, all of the liquid had dried, even like the liquid on the duvet cover had dried.
So as far as I knew,
just my oh gosh, I guess the battery must have run down or something. It actually took me a while to realize that. Oh poopy, I just dumped like a whole glass full of. Oh well, this is not going to end well. If you can program yourself to flip it. But the positive version of this story was I had another beverage accident, but this was not my fault. I was at a sidewalk cafe where like the tables are like those thin like metal where if you so much as nudge it, it'll start wobbling, and so it knocked like a bottle of root beer onto my ThinkPad. But again, I immediately flipped it over. Also, the ThinkPad. That model of ThinkPad, it really is designed to like be abused and still survive. And I was patient for a couple of days. I let it dry out. I took it apart because ThinkPads are easy to take apart. I kind of hosed down the keyboard and it worked just fine. Thank goodness.
Mr. Former ex-genius, I've got it back. Should I take it apart and dry it out and see if it starts, or should I just not even attempt? There's nothing you can
do. Here's the funny thing. The prior to 50 me would have been like, yeah. The over 50 me is like, screw that. I would rather spend that time watching something good on TV or like having a Super Bowl. And And to Alex's point, you can get color indicating desiccant gel beads for like $18 on Amazon for 2 pounds. So it's actually not that expensive and it's reusable. The color indicating means like if you buy orange beads, they turn green when they're saturated. So you know that they work, right? If you buy the blue ones, they turn a different color.
But don't use this for kitty litter, right? Use this.
No. This is for doing what we're talking about, like good reusable desiccant.
You can get 64 pounds if you want.
That indicates that maybe
the problem is your sense of irresponsibility. maybe you need to lose a couple of laptops to teach you how to take care of your toys.
It broke my heart.
You know, be very careful of saying I've never done, because I was joking because I have friends who always break their phones. And I'm like, I have never so much as dropped or broken an iPhone. And we're on like iPhone 14. I swear, second day, iPhone 14. Dropped it and nothing happened, thank goodness. But never say that because you immediately jinx yourself. It's like it's like the commentator's curse in sports.
Yeah.
Oh, he never throws it in his. Oh, there's an interception.
That's cool. So if it's 50 to 60% absorbed with moisture, it turns pink. This is good. Yeah. And then you can microwave.
They come in different colors. You can pick whichever color you want.
You can microwave it, defrost bees. Microbake it.
I think it said micro bacon, and I was like, you know, that would be really great.
Micro bacon.
That would be really good.
To go with your micro greens and your micro tomatoes.
Like bacon. You can make then your product comes out dry and smelling like bacon.
like bacon jerky, but you can get it like in an L tin, like at the checkouts line. That would so I would hungry. I would be like
micro bacon.
Furky.
Micro bacon.
Show title. I wish to back your Kickstarter, Alex. at the one gross case level reward level.
These guys.
Space right. grade micro bacon.
We gotta take another break because I gotta pay for a new Mac. We will. So tell me again. Do you guys think there will be an event next week, or not an event, an announcement next week?
I don't think so.
I'm thinking, right?
No. But I have to say that we're hearing the same the kind of rumors and the kind of velocity of rumors about the Mac Mini and about an updated MacBook Pro are very consistent with what I would expect from a imminent announcement on both of those things. So I would be
Now you're confusing me. So you think it won't be next week, but it might be next month.
I think they will see one by the end of the year, maybe next month. I don't know about next week.
Pre-Black Friday, right? Yeah, they did drop something. They did drop the black iMac or something they dropped after Black Friday. And we were like, wait, what? It was only like 3 or 4 years ago. And I forget which product it was. But they did drop something after Black Friday. But those things don't fit in the Black Friday shopping. So they can come at any time between now and the end of the year.
But nonetheless, Apple traditionally likes to slow down like between like Thanksgiving and the New Year's. So they would want to get all that stuff out the door like before people stop paying attention to their jobs, which is sort of like the culture in December. It's like, we're not going to drop anything really big. It's going to be fine. Go home. Put the koala on the tree.
I'm scanning Mark Gurman's newsletter to see.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is now.
I gotta say, it was exciting for me this morning because I woke up I'm doing a couple hours of like email like in bed. The store is down, and suddenly like I'm on for the like as I have been for the past month because I know that at any moment given that I'm not expecting there to be an Apple event for the new Mac Mini, I'm expecting to get. Basically find out that on the next hour, you're going to have to be at the Apple store to pre-order a Mac Mini and spend $2,000. It is high alert. It's almost like having a baby only cost you, less money than that because American healthcare system. But in most countries, it would be more expensive.
Mark Gurman, by the way, does agree Apple should discontinue the iPad Air. There's just no place for it in the lineup. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm.
One thing to remember is we still need space for the Mac Pro. So there is one more event, people. We just don't know when.
Well, they normally do that. We know there's no normal with Apple Silicon, but I would expect every year there'd be an M+1 update to all the stuff or no.
Do you think they'll do that yearly or no? October 29th, if I remember, October 20th announced, October 29th ship was the Mac Mini, right? Because I'm trying to remember when I got mine. So it has to be, this is going to be 2 years for this Mini, which I finally took off the desk. It's been relocated to a Pelican case with a display, like it's a portable studio. So that guy is officially 2 years old next week, right? Yeah. So yeah, I definitely think it has to come soon just because of the timing. So if it's not next week, it's mid-November.
Yeah. They did say that when they first announced Apple Silicon, they intended to have the entire Mac lineup updated to Apple Silicon by the end of 2022 or in 2 years' time.
Yes.
So unless I don't think anybody would ding them very, very hard if they simply said, oh, we're going to announce it. We won't be able to ship them new Mac Pro until whatever. But Doc Rock a new Mac Pro, they would not just simply put new silicon in the old case design. They would need to because so much of the old case design is based on how do we get all this heat out of this damn thing. So, yeah, that's interesting. Maybe they will have another event for Max.
Leo, sorry. You have to go to commercial, I know. Let me show you my box real fast.
That's cool. Ta-da! Oh, that's nice. So
that's a CyberDeck 4K display.
Awesome. Oh, look at that.
And then there's the Mini, the keyboard, Shure interface. and underneath is Thunderbolt hub and ancillary.
So that's cable. So you can stream remotely mostly, or?
Yeah, because, you know, like I was on the road in Massachusetts for the last 2 months and I had a little Airbnb in Newburyport and I just needed to take my studio while I was working on, we might be coming out with a new version of Ecamm. So I was hiding in Massachusetts and
is that where Ecamm really, is?
Yeah, in Amesbury. But I was in Newburyport because I wanted to be, I don't know, I went from beach to beach. No one told me that water is freezing.
Oh, it's terrible. Really and come to California, it's even colder.
Oh, my goodness. That water over there, it's freezing. It is not like what I got across the street where it's nice with my toes.
When I lived in Rhode Island, I thought it was warm because it's got the Gulf Current, right, Andy?
And right,
it's
right. Exactly.
So it's warm. Exactly. Then you come to so the Atlantic was actually, believe it or not, Doc Rock, you're used to Hawaii, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. But California is even colder than the Atlantic, at least Northern California.
Good Lord, yeah. That was psycho.
Even the differences between the beaches on the North Shore of Cape Cod are different from the beaches on the South Shore of Cape Cod, just simply because you're getting a little more warm water from the south.
Yeah.
And whereas are you in Nova Scotia if you are in the North Shore of anything? Oh my God.
It's like going swimming in Nova Scotia. I know that.
There you go.
Oh my goodness. It is crazy. But hey, the food is really good in Newburyport.
Did you have clam cakes?
I cannot eat shellfish anymore, but I did have a lot of various other good things that they have.
Shellfish
there,
is the best thing they have there.
Yeah, no. Quahogs.
Quahogs. Quahogs.
Yeah.
Quahogs.
Yeah.
That would be the best.
I did learn how to say wicked and packy. So I don't know if Andy, I was like, I got to go to the packy go to the what? And my friend's like, you got to go to the packy.
That's the package store.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is
the packy.
That's beautiful because they say the packy, then you say the liquor store, the package store, and that doesn't help. It's like,
what's a package store?
It's from Prohibition days. When you
Blue laws, blue laws.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right, commercial, sorry.
No. I'm having fun with you guys. I don't need to do a commercial, but I do need to pay for my new MacBook.
Let me know the next time you're anywhere in New England. Yeah, you're nearby. You would have been worth a $10 commuter rail fare to see you.
Aww.
Oh, but you know what's great? I did go to the North End and I went to the Improv Asylum. Oh my goodness. If you're ever in the Baston, I don't know how to say that part. If you're ever in the Baston area, go to Improv Asylum and watch them. And they were doing a graduation. So like these people were competing to move to the MasterCast, whatever they call it. And it was freaking amazing. Fun. One of the best nights of comedy ever. And they're very competitive. So it was
great comedy scene in Boston. Yeah.
We will take a break. When we come back, the iPad Pros and other Apple news. There's lots more to talk about. So glad Doc Rock is here, sitting in for Jason Snell this week. Andy Iannocco, Alex Lindsay. Our show today brought to you by New Relic. I'm talking to the developers out there, the engineers, the people who run big cloud apps. I love devs because, I'm an honorary dev. I'm a hobbyist dev. But I look at you guys, the pros, I'm just blown away. You know, you're fascinated by what you're doing. I think you love what you're doing. You're always exploring the latest tech. You actually read the documentation because you not only want to know how things work, you want to know why they work that way. That's why so many engineers love New Relic, because New Relic gives you the data you need to know about the stuff you build. It shows what's really happening in your software life cycle. The whole stack, one place. You could see it all. You don't have to look into a bunch of different tools, make the correlations manually. No, it's all in New Relic. It pinpoints issues down to the line of code so you can not only know why the problem's happening, you can fix that right there. That's amazing. It pinpoints issues down to the line of code. That's why dev and ops teams at DoorDash use New Relic. So does GitHub. Epic Games uses New Relic. 14,000 companies use New Relic. They use it to debug and improve their software. They use it to keep an eye on the whole stack so they know what's going on. And I love it because when you're getting together to triage problems, to make decisions about your data, to solve problems, to implement resolutions, you're doing it based on facts. Not somebody's great idea, not opinion. I think this is what's going on. You know what's going on. Use the data platform made for the curious. Right now, you can get access to the entire New Relic platform. You can get 100 gigabytes of data a month, and you can get that free forever. No credit card. Sign up at newrelic.com/MacBreak. 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 Thank them so much for their support of MacBreak Weekly. And of course, when you go to that address, you're supporting us too. NewRelic.com/MacBreak. I am not tempted by, I love my M1 iPad Pro. Is it a redesign in any way? It's the same, right? It's, well, inside, the guts are new, but I don't.
Everything else looks the same.
It doesn't, yeah. I guess we don't know until we get it home. Supercharged by the M2 chip. It has Wi-Fi 6E. It also has the Apple Pencil hover experience. It looks like it has the same magic keyboard that lifts, not separates. Or actually lifts and separates, doesn't it? Like a fine brassiere. But so I guess the new magic keyboard is not available to the the iPad Pro. Mm. Stage Manager, yeah, you'll get all that stuff, the new iPad OS, when you pick it up October 26th. You can order it today. 'Tis not cheap.
Yeah. That's fine, though. But the thing is, you compare the Magic Keyboard, I've got my iPad Pro, to almost every other accessory, like keyboard trackpad case, and oh my God, it's like the typing surface is perfectly firm. It snaps closed really nicely. It's got an extra charge port on the opposite side of where it would be on the iPad. I'm speaking from the pleasure of having bought it for like maybe even two-thirds off on a closeout thing if you're using this as your main laptop, you might find that this is the best choice available for you. But if you don't, if it's too much, there's so many others out there. That's okay. This isn't like Apple telling people, hey, go be poor someplace else.
Do you think this M2 iPad Pro is actually faster than the M1 MacBook Air? I guess it is.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I guess it is. I mean,
it's hard to do an Apple.
20%. It's not. But it's also hard to do an Apple. Yeah.
Yeah, also, I mean, the thing is, it's not about benchmarks. It's about how much annoyance is iOS going to put you through versus right. The simple things you could be able to do with on the same operations. The only complaint I have about my iPad is that I really wish I could just get a desktop browser for it that has no accommodations for it being a touch device, no accommodations for it being an iOS device, because if I could just get plain flat Safari or plain flat Chrome on this, it would reduce 90% of the problems that I have in getting things done with the iPad.
That is so true. Somebody needs to make a full complement Chromium browser, Chromium would be the best because it's extensible, but that just runs on it. Because, I mean, it's a desktop class processor. It has all of the stuff that you need. Why do I have to have this dumbed down version of a browser? And the load the mobile site switch to load desktop site thing never works the way it should. And you're right. That's about it. The other thing, I just can't believe I want to say this again. I'll make fun of myself. I've had this Magic Keypad since the day it came out. I completely forgot about the other charging port on that side.
That's so nice. I always plug
it in here.
I do it the opposite. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's whole time nice. I was in the hotel, I had my cable like whipped around this weird way.
Yes.
And I completely forgot about that. And I literally every day for the last 2 months, I'm on the road, and I spent like the last month in Mass, and I just forgot about that.
John Gerard in our Discord said he asked Apple sales, and they said it is the same size and design, so your M1 iPad Pro case will work. Your M1 iPad, everything will work. That is good. So they didn't redesign it. Tommy on Trip says the biggest thing about M2 is ProRes. So there's ProRes support now.
Oh,
is that new? Yeah.
Well, you got the ProRes support and you got the extra neural engines. Now, we were able to work with ProRes on the old model, but this one shoots in ProRes.
Which I think seems like a really weird form factor. I know that people do it, but I think that
It's not the phone has not a great camera, right? I mean, it's not as good as the iPhone camera.
Yeah, the phone has better lenses and better camera process than the iPad. The iPad's kind of like, you got a camera.
People use it to edit because it does have ProRes hardware acceleration. So,
I edit on mine all the time.
Okay, so you'll value that guy if you work in ProRes.
Yeah, well, I'm using it for basically offline editing, right? Just chop some cuts in real quick, and with LumaFusion, I can send it to Final Cut and send it to Final Cut XML and everything is, where you need it to be. So that part is dope. And I think the only people I ever see really using it in a camera the way that Apple's talking about is education space. As in schools, the kids are always holding it and filming
all the time
with it.
Yeah.
And so I guess it's good for that because they are very popular in that space and we tend to forget that. But yeah, it's really weird. And to this day, when I see someone at a concert or a game go like this and they're like,
I don't even like it when they do it with the phone. I was at a concert Saturday night, perfectly happy, standing in the mosh pit, enjoying a all-female Led Zeppelin tribute band known as Zepparella. And some guy muscles up and stands in front of me with his phone like that, videoing it. Like, all I can see now is a big, bright screen. It's like, dude, that is so rude. Please, folks, don't do that. Don't do that to anybody.
Especially when they have the old case with a flat with flap down. You got the big iPad.
The case is hanging off of it. Come on, man.
Why not just open a Victorian parasol behind you? If you want to be that big of a jerk to everyone behind you. Why pretend?
So the first half of the Apple video is the iPad. The second half, we go to the Apple campus to meet the iPad Pro. Somebody's saying they had somebody shooting with a rig. Yeah, here you go. That's exactly what you want to see on the movie set. Some guy with a rig and his iPad Pro. Is that silly, Alex?
Yeah, but I think that some of it has to do with, I mean, obviously some people are getting paid to do it with an iPad specifically, so that's why they're doing that. But I think that in general, sometimes you can get some of the previz stuff and shoot some video.
That's for previz or something like
that's
that.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. So
that's probably your previz shot.
I love it.
You can previz that and through, you can see things like, for instance, we use things like Artemis Pro to, visualize this is what this lens on this camera is going to look at. Now, I've never done video with that. I don't even know if it does that, but we visualize it there and the phones are really good for that. I've never used, again, I haven't used an iPad for that.
So he's doing a cop pursuit scene. I could see for previz that would make a lot of sense. It's not the movie itself. It's just getting the shots in.
But usually you're not all set up with all the grip stuff and everything else if you're doing previz.
Kind of weird,
aspirational.
Aspirational. That's it. Apple. Apple's aspiring to do something. The hover's really cool. They showed one of the things you can do with the hover is you hover it and then you can use your finger. There it is. Swipe the pen size up and down before you're tapping anything. I think that's kind of a cool use of hover.
I think it's adorable. They're still trying to make it. They're trying to say these multi-touch, multi-gesture interfaces on the iPad are absolutely intuitive and absolutely easy. No, you're just going to learn to use them. That's fine.
Well, if you're an illustrator, that might be something you'd end up using. I love the ability to drag the center point of an image into something. That's so cool. You have to have, does it have to be a portrait mode photo to do that? He just did it with a car. Look at that. Just takes
you can do
it.
You can
do it anything? Photo. Okay, because it's got depth image. No matter
I was playing with it on the iPhone, and it's so good on the
iPhone.
It's
so cool.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I have to admit, when they started doing the composites for the home screen, I was like, well, that's kind of silly. And, it was like a silly little thing. But now I find myself out with my kids trying to frame it to shoot it so there's just a little overlap and it doesn't automatically give up and put the time over top. So I found
do you
I
turn
went
your
from,
kids into stickers?
To,
what do you do?
I use them for my home screen. So I have,
that's
I have
lots cute. Of,
I have my kids and my wife and everything else on home screens. And so it seems to swap them. I must do something that swaps them because it seems randomly I get new ones. So I don't really know exactly how that's happening, but I've started to shoot the photos and keep them in the collection of, you know, just a little bit of their hat or a little bit of something just covering part of the, you know, so because if you put too much of it, if it's too much on the top in front of them, then it won't do it. It'll just put the time over top. So there's this game where you're playing it. And I've gone from not thinking that it was useful to wishing that there was a camera in the home screen so that I could frame it and it would just show me where, whether it's going to pop up above or below so I can just frame it correctly. So I'm, because I'm shooting for the home screen. So
here's a question, Alex. So to do this, the second half of the iPad introduction video from Apple, they apparently hired a movie car, a stunt driver. He's got an earpiece in. He's driving. He's going to go. They must have also taken over the street because he's he got to show it sooner. Wait a minute. Let me do it again here. He's taken over the. They had the whole police department come out. Because this guy,
well, that's not even that's a prop police car because it's not modern,
right? So no, this is one of those this is one of those stunt cars you see with, and then but they had to take over the. There's a prop police car, and all of it shot with an iPad.
Yeah. Maybe not. It'd probably be.
Come on, man.
Yeah, a little much.
Some of this stuff they're double dutying, right? So they're in the process of shooting, say, 5 days to Memorial or Blackbird or whatever, and they know they got these products coming out. They're like, I need the iPhone marketing team to be on the set this day.
Maybe there was a real movie.
We're going to make a concession during something that they're filming for Apple TV, and then they can just work it in.
Okay. Very much doubt that for Apple. Like Apple,
they can afford to do a separate.
And that hill is definitely in San Fran.
but I don't think I doubt Apple did anything other than like this is because the hard part is when you say, oh, we want to take advantage of a set. Now you're fitting into somebody else's schedule and their requirements. That's true. They've got something else they got to do. And, you know, so they're just Apple. There are definitely lots of companies that do that. I work inside of those gaps all the time. But I don't think Apple does that. I think Apple just goes, well, we're just going to shoot this. And yeah, what's the budget? $150,000? Sure.
11-inch iPad Pro starts at $799. If you want cellular, add $200. 12.9-inch iPad Pro, $1099. Add $200 for the Wi-Fi plus cellular. The Pencil, second generation, $129. Magic Keyboard, all that stuff is the same. That's the same price as before, yeah? $1099, I think it is. But as Doc Rock so eloquently pointed out, what did you call it? You can get the Fat Boy for $2,500.
You know what's crazy? That my M1 iPad Pro, I haven't weighed it. I swear to you, this is heavier than the M2 Air.
It seems like it, doesn't it? Yeah.
Everybody that grabs this thing goes, oh my God, that thing is a tank. And I go, yeah, but I mean, I love it. So. Yeah.
So that's it. That's the announcement. You can order today all of those products. Delivery next week. iPad OS 16 and Mac OS Ventura come out Monday officially. And that's it. That's no. You know what? If that's all they had to announce, I see why you don't have an event. It'd be silly to have an event for that.
Here's the catch-22.
Hold on, Andy first.
Yeah, there is something that's kind of missing from here. We still have not heard a peep about Freeform, like that whiteboard app they showed off at WWDC.
It comes with iPad OS 16. They said
No.
I'm looking at the rest.
It was a large portion. It's a large portion of the demo too, right? When they're doing the flyovers.
Okay. So I was saying that's kind of interesting because I don't know if that's one of those things that Apple. It's like a product that Apple is going to grow. The reason I ask that is because Microsoft has a product, I think it's called Loop, that they've been teasing, and Google's adding to its Google Docs and Workspace something similar. All of these are ways to embed components in it. It looks like a white. If it's just a whiteboard where you could draw on, big deal. But when you're embedding components from other apps into it, it becomes more interesting. And I feel like Microsoft, Google, and I think Apple are all looking at some sort of future product that is some sort of, you know, for a long time there was a thesis in computer science that why are we focused on file systems
documents,
and files? Yeah. You should be focused on the document. And no one has successfully done this. Both Apple with Pink, I think, was document-centric. Microsoft with Longhorn and Olay have been pushing this, but nobody's done it yet. And I'm wondering if we're headed in that direction.
It's going to be really cool to see how much they managed to pay off on one of the key elements of the WWDC keynote, which is always as intended to be very forward thinking. It says as close to Apple ever gets to saying, here's what our strategy is for the next 5 years. Here are some unannounced products for you to chew on. They really seem to be hyping up messages as not just a way to keep people from buying Android devices and not just a messaging app, but also we feel as though this is going to be the center hub for collaboration, where when you're going to invite people to join in on a free form whiteboard through messages, that you're going to basically, every time you do a collaboration, the initiation point is going to be through a messages group chat. And so I don't think we're going to see how much that's going to pay off the next month. But once all that technology, once all these operating systems have been updated all the way across the product line, I'm keen to see if that really pays off in 6 months as a real strategy, or whether that's just a feature they wired in because they knew that would help. That would help iOS and macOS and enterprise.
Let me correct myself, because you were right, Andy. So I'm looking at the press release and it mentions Freeform as a part of iPadOS 16, but I didn't see the part where it says footnote number 6, Freeform will be available in an update to iOS, iPadOS, and macOS later this year.
Ah, yes.
So you were absolutely correct.
Yeah, at WWDC, they didn't even attach it to the next versions of iOS and iPadOS. They just said later this year.
It is interesting, though, here in the press release, iPadOS 16 brings powerful new features. Number one is new features and messages. Number two is Freeform. So, you know, they're definitely, I think they have some hopes, some aspirations for Freeform. It's not clips. It's not, you know, some afterthought that somebody made and, you know, maybe it'll be something. I mean, if they put it above the weather app on iPad, I think that's pretty serious. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, other news. Have we completed the everything anybody wanted to say about the product announcement?
I'm spent.
Yeah. Oh, I know what I was going to say. One thing that was important I wanted to say. Here's the funny thing about it. When they do the events for something that they could have just been a press release, there is some bovine burst given by the people out here. When they do the press release and a video on YouTube instead of an event, we're having more of those, you know, superfluous bovine burps. So which is it, folks? Like, pick one. Pick a camp, right? Like, and it's funny, no matter which way they did it, it's wrong. And I wish that would just stop, because it's useless.
Anything else to say? Any other little details that we forgot to mention, Alex? The Apple TV.
I just think that the big thing with Apple is when they release an iPad that is an M2. I just didn't feel like they communicate, at least in that video, really what they talk about, like better photorealistic photogrammetry or 3D modeling, but they don't really show us. You know, I think the biggest problem with the iPad is we keep on getting new chips. And this gets a little bit to what we were talking about with the Apple TV. Keep on getting new chips, but we don't see a lot of things that really require those chips, that really require, that push the envelope of what they can do. It makes it a little bit more convenient, a little bit snappier. But I got to tell you, I barely don't know the difference between my iPad Pro 2 years ago to my iPad Pro 1 year ago. In my eyes, they're not interchangeable. The one has a better screen and, you know, I can look at, you know, but they're pretty close.
We will see in sales, but I agree 100%, especially for people like Doc Rock and I who have a M1 iPad Pro. There's no compelling argument to step up at all.
Yeah, and I think that's the issue is that we just don't see a lot of. And again, I think that's partially working with developers. It's communicating it better. There's definitely things that push these computers, but they have a problem where they're building all these apps and a lot of them aren't, there's no apps out there. This is the problem for PCs, is that Excel runs as fast as it's ever going to run on a PC. So for 99% of the world, or maybe if you have a really complex table, it's going to slow down a little bit, but when you're trying to tie it into your ERP or something like that. But in general, it's going as what people use their PC for is going as fast as they can. And I think that iPads, you know, you can go back years and your iPad still does most of the things that all the other ones do, because the developers aren't really pushing that. And I think that Apple needs to, if they want, I think they could improve sales by working more closely with developers to get better tools that push it harder.
Yeah. it's always a question of what can this new thing do that my current thing can't do? And if you can't answer that question really speedily, that's a problem. I mean, even me, the reason why I bought an Apple Silicon MacBook was because my old one really couldn't keep up with a lot of the streaming that I'm doing. The reason why I'm upgrading my Mac Mini, even though it's 10 years old, isn't even necessarily that it won't run Ventura, but the fact that I really want to have multiple displays right now, it doesn't have the IO that I want for what I need. Otherwise, I wouldn't just be saying that, oh, well, geez, honestly, a truism for decades has been CPUs and operating systems are fast, so fast that most of the time a faster processor just means it's got more duty cycles between flashing the cursor, waiting for you to type the next thing.
I mean, Apple does say M2 is up to 15%. I'm looking at the press release, faster than the M1. With advancements in both performance and efficiency cores, and a 10-core GPU delivering up to 35% faster graphics for the most demanding users. A neural engine can process 15 trillion operations a second. That's 40% faster than the M1. But all of these specs, I think I agree with you, Alex. It's like, yeah, but I don't need that.
What app do I have that right. would take advantage of 20% right. faster? I don't.
Double the memory bandwidth. 50% more memory bandwidth. I mean, yeah, but why? I don't need it. Maybe Apple's just done too good a job.
And there are apps that push these things. There are apps that could push these, but Apple, I think, needs to promote more of them.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the issue.
Yeah. ProRes capture seems like the single biggest difference, frankly. And
as soon as they say, here is Final Cut Pro for the iPad.
Yes.
Everybody will. Okay, M2 iPad, here I come. See you. Here, that would have been automatic for me. I would just ignore the fact that this one is still dope. If it only runs on M2, but here's Final Cut Pro for iPad.
Dumb. Here's the image in the press release of an iPad editing solution. But what program? This is not an Apple program.
I think it's just
made up. Does anybody know?
No. This is it doesn't look like LumaFusion, but maybe there's a new version of LumaFusion coming because it does have some elements of LumaFusion on there.
And this is definitely Lumen. Well, I don't know what it is. Actually,
I think that might be
that's.
Is this Serif?
Affinity Designer.
Affinity, yeah. Yeah, this looks like Affinity. That the toolbar does, but I don't know what the video editor is. Media Sync Transitions Titles Effects Homelands Documentary. Maybe it's just made up. But that's kind of a cheat if you don't have Final Cut on the iPad. Why are you showing this?
Well, I don't think it's Final Cut. Yeah, but I think
it's not Final Cut. But what is it? It's very odd. Anyway, what makes a goth? Wait a minute, I want to read this article. Hey, Letitia Ibarra.
Too many bright colors for that.
Yeah. Well, it's all about the bright colors, apparently.
One thing I want to ask you, Alex, though, like when we're taking a look
at DaVinci Resolve. That's what it says.
Yeah.
DaVinci Resolve. Okay.
Oh, I forgot about DaVinci Resolve for iPad.
Is there a Resolve? I didn't even know that Resolve.
Yeah.
Look at me.
That's a good choice, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry, Andy. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to ask, like, when you talk about people who are using stuff on set for production, how important it is or how valuable would it be to be able to shoot something on a device and edit it on the device and then output from the device without doing any sort of an ingestion of data? Like, would that mitigate the fact that the iPad is not using the best camera system that is available from Apple?
Yeah, I mean, I think that so where you see that is Previs. You know, the Previs is the thing that we would do that the most for. Like, I'm going to walk in, I'm going to do a scene. I'm going to go click, 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 click. They can go here, and then we're going to go be here. And I wouldn't have a whole crew. I probably, if let's say I have a restaurant scene, I might go into that restaurant and, you know, have that, you know, shoot the different pieces. And normally we do it over just stills. Like, there's going to be this frame, and then there's going to be that frame, and then there's going to be this frame. But sometimes we might shoot video and have them talking back and forth. And then you want to cut it all and send it to a director or a producer and say, this is what I think we could do. And then they might come back and go, okay, well, that's good. And that is really useful. But we usually do that on a phone. But the advantage of doing it on the iPad is if you're going to tie it in with like LumaFusion. So you take, you know, you cut, you know, you shoot all those things, drop it into LumaFusion, edit it all out, which is a little faster than transferring it from your phone to your iPad or letting it go up and then pulling it back down or whatever. So
you found a good article that explains this. DaVinci Resolve is not available on the iPad Pro. Apple has teased, in effect, that it's coming. In fact, from the video, here is a little bit of the video of DaVinci Resolve on an iPad Pro. So
that's complex.
Here it is. So very interesting. This is from DP Review. Thanks for finding this, Doc Rock. I think we've actually found a little mini scooplet here. Aside from the small caption, Apple doesn't explicitly...
They had the icon in the dock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see that? The icon was in the dock, and I completely missed that. Watched the video four times. Yeah. I don't know why I missed that.
Apple doesn't explicitly reveal any other details about DaVinci Resolve for iPad, but it does say the new M2 models can convert video projects to ProRes up to 3 times faster, and they say that was done in LumaFusion. DP Review has contacted Blackmagic for additional details on DaVinci Resolve for the iPad. So that's an unannounced new product.
A spokesperson responded, oops.
No, that's not an oops.
Well, what happens there is that Apple has, they have their screen captures, they have what they're going to use, and they're going down, and they probably talked about it months in advance. And then the partner may or may not be ready to up. There might be a couple little glitches, a couple things they have to fix, whatever. And Apple's going to keep on, they're not going to change. They're going to pull the slates out of it. So
they're going to keep on keeping on.
I don't think Apple surprised them. I think Apple's not really a big company on surprise. I think that probably, if I was going to guess, I'd probably say Blackmagic was trying to close up a couple little things before they put it out.
In the video at the 8-minute mark, they say powerful new apps are coming to iPad as well. DaVinci Resolve for iPad with color correction, editing, and visual effects. So would that be as good as Final Cut for you, Doc?
Well, muscle memory, no, I love Resolve and I've used it before it became damn near free. when they're the original, DaVinci boxes. No, not bitter at all, right? But here's the thing: you mentioned something, Alec, and it was to Andy's question. But let's take this differently. So there's Alec's level of content creator, and then there's my level of content creator. My people would absolutely love to be able to shoot, edit, post on the same device, right? Because I'm teaching the YouTubers, the Instagrammers, TikTokers, above. So for us having that type of power, right, at the Bid Summit conference, that happened this last week in LA, when there's like 200,000 YouTubers running around, they would love to do everything in one little device. Well, and many people are doing it with the phone and struggling. So in this case, the iPad would be amazing.
And absolutely, that I was doing it from a point of view of sets and previs, but you're absolutely right that a lot of people who are doing, whether it's TikTok or YouTube, being able to cut on the phone. Now, a lot of them are using iMovie and then they graduate to Final Cut, or they use Enlighten or the built-in apps like TikTok's built-in.
CapCut.
Yeah. And so there's a couple of them that kind of float around there. So you absolutely can do that with the iPad. And the iPad does give you more tools. I think that it'd be interesting, again, with Resolve, the issue that I guess, and this is just the way we use it. So I think that they definitely, Blackmagic really wants to engage that audience. I think for us, the reason we use Resolve is for heavy lifting. So, I'm shooting some stuff tomorrow and we're shooting on an Arri Super 35 with an Anshinu lens, and that's all going into Resolve.
Interesting.
Like we're putting that on, that's a Resolve project.
Can you use the free version for that, or do you have to?
No. Need the full, the pro version. Yeah. But the pro version is $300. I mean, the project is cost more than that.
Oh, yeah.
And we have, the big thing is if you have lots of Blackmagic cameras, you have lots of Resolve because it's $300, but every camera comes every Blackmagic camera comes with it. Yeah. So I've got I got a lot of Resolve laying around.
I do want to say, Doc Rock, that my little son, who is kind of a TikTok, YouTube kind of guy, shoots. In fact, just bought a R6C, a C70, edits in Premiere. I don't think he's doing it on the iPad. I'm just saying. I don't think so.
There's plenty
the guys like me that come. Yeah, the guys like me that come from this space, like I'll shoot on, my A7s or, an FX3 or something like that. But from going to conferences and coaching and stuff, so many people are like really mobile only.
Yeah. They start that way.
They start that way.
Sure.
And then so even
and Henry, and Henry started that way. He was doing it with his iPhone for a long time.
Right. They get a feel that I need something better, and then they start looking for that one higher piece. But like even to Alec point though, like when we do shoot stuff with the small red, DaVinci just handles it so much better. So a lot of times we'll do the basic stuff right. in DaVinci because it's really really quick.
Right.
And so for as heavy lifting as you're saying, even for the color correction, like still nobody color corrects like DaVinci. So like if you're doing something really important at the end, you're going to color correct it in DaVinci.
Interesting.
And I just don't know how you can do nodes on an iPad. Nodes would be really weird on an iPad to me. Because nodes are weird to me in general.
Yeah, running Fusion on an iPad would be really interesting. But the key is this is the kind of app that is going to now press down on, potentially press really down on using the M2 inside the iPad. I could definitely see like getting Resolve and going, okay, I need an M2 to do whatever I would do there. And again, I think that it'll be interesting to see how you integrate, because the real possibility there is integrating that iPad view with, you know, to preview something. You know, I'm going to have somebody working on a workstation and they're going to have, you know, a really high-end color correct monitor, but can they send me something, whether it's a, you know, a derp or whatever, that I can open it in my iPad, see what they're doing and make, you know, and the iPad theoretically has, the iPad's actually pretty accurate. I mean, one thing we find with the iPads and the iPhones is the color is pretty accurate. I wouldn't say it's as good as an $11,000, you know, Flanders, but I think that they're definitely pretty strong. So be interesting.
They're pretty amazing. Yeah. And LumaFusion comes with like vector scopes and stuff, which at first I thought was crazy, but
it's great.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah. And LumaFusion right now is kind of rules that whole area. I mean, if you want to cut stuff and have a detailed, you know, way to work with it, LumaFusion is definitely the way to go.
I'm looking back at Gurman's post last week where he said imminent release of the iPad Pros. He says, while the new MacBook Pros are on track to launch in the near future, I wouldn't expect them to be released alongside the iPad Pro. Check. The company has historically launched new Macs in November. So I think you're all in agreement. The other thing he said, which is kind of interesting, Google at its event a couple of weeks ago teased but did not ship a Google tablet that magnetically attaches to a speaker to turn it into kind of a photo smart frame display, screen thing. And he says that Apple is also, he believes, working on that, which would be kind of an interesting. Google said, our research shows that the tablet isn't something you have around with you all the time. You kind of pick it up to do a few things and you only use it once in a while. So it made sense for us to have a magnetic attachment that you could attach it to the speaker. So it's in a static position and then showing pictures or playing music or whatever. And then it's charging at the same time and then pick it up as you go. I think that would be very cool for an iPad.
Yeah, they were very at the event. This is probably the reason why they were referring to this as a Pixel tablet and not as like a Nest Home display. But hey, you can remove the display.
It looks just a big Nest Home, right?
Because it has that really, really, they didn't show it off. They were just simply updating the status of that project. But yeah, the base looks like a big Nest Home speaker display that would have really good sound, react to smart commands, all that sort of stuff. I hope that Google really does decide to finally start to think about giving the iPad a challenge, because this was one of Google's big themes at their developer conference, that hey, look, we're really basically not necessarily rebooting the idea of tablet apps on Android, but we recognize that we have not been giving developers enough support to make great things, so we are adding so much extra support to the stuff. And I think that the reason why they're making a tablet is to demonstrate to Samsung and everybody else, here's how good Android can be on a tablet. But we'll see.
Gurman also points out that having an iPad and have a stand like that is really, in a way, making it a smart home device, which Apple has really struggled with a little bit. He says, I'm told, this is a quote, Apple is working to bring similar functionality to the iPad as soon as 2023. The idea is to offer something users can place on a kitchen counter, in the living room, or on their nightstand.
It would be great if they...
Apple needs to talk to Andy Green about that.
Who's Andy Green?
Sorry. Go ahead. 12 South. Andrew.
Right. 12 South could do something like that. Yeah.
Because it'd be cool. Like, you got a little base, right? Your baseball mini HomePod sits right here. The little arm comes up and you you snap the iPad to it. Yeah. And if through the proximity of being that close, it would switch to the speaker. Because even a single, I call them baseballs, even a single orange HomePod, like, it sounds so good. And the iPad sounds good.
Yes.
If you find a way to work those two together, oh, that'll be a great viewing experience while I'm in the kitchen making Kentucky Fried Chicken in my rice pot.
I actually, with my Google, because I have a lot of those Google Nest Hub Maxes that are basically that, they're permanently attached, unfortunately, but I have them all over. And that is a good way to keep up on news or sports when I'm, when I go in the bathroom or wherever, I can say, hey, play the Major League Baseball playoffs. And I can have a little screen. It's not the ideal, but it's something that I can keep an eye on while I'm doing other things. So I think that's a great idea. I hope Apple does that. I really would love to see that.
Yeah, just as simple as saying that there's a dock, there is a an iPad dock type that can communicate to the device that, hey, when you are docked to me, go into display mode. And for Apple to just like this car, just like this car mode, say when you're docked to this device, turn it to run the built-in app that turns you into a smart
and
display.
Become a smart home device and become a TV device. And a music device, and charge the iPad. It's where you put your iPad in between to charge.
Yeah. Not only that, but what if it became an AirPlay target as well?
Exactly.
So that I can basically play send a movie or a video direct there.
Yeah. In fact, now that we're talking, let's make a big nice speaker. Of course, Apple's gotten out of the big speaker business, but that would be a really nice thing to have, kind of a Google Hub Max. Google Home Max speaker size on that. Make it a nice little stereo.
I love my HomePod.
The little ones are fine. I have stereo ones in the bedroom. So we listen to books and music. And
I have a big one in the kitchen.
The big one. Oh. Yeah, they don't make that anymore. Yeah, Lisa has a couple of those. Yeah. A couple other shorties. Apple is now going to let you take your daily cash in your Apple Card and put it in a, they call it, high yield savings account. They didn't say what the yield will be.
Savings
turning
account.
Into a bank, just like you thought.
I'm so surprised. No way.
Goldman Sachs, current Goldman Sachs high yield accounts, I think, are 1.some%. They're not, they're not keeping up with inflation, but it, it's better than just let it sit in the wallet. And I have actually a considerable amount of Apple Cash in my card balance that should be getting a little interest while it's sitting there, right?
Well, and I often put a lot of money in my Apple Cash.
Is that because you use it to pay people?
No, I don't. I mean, I do occasionally use it to pay people, but I buy a lot of stuff that way. The big thing is that when you use Apple Cash, you're not using your, any of your credit cards or ATM cards. Right. It's a much, much more secure way to do that. So that if you're, if someone like Target gets all their credit cards taken, all you have is Apple Cash connections. And so that's a much different, connection there. So it's safer. It's more secure for you to buy stuff. Also, it's much faster, so I don't have to type anything in. Well, I mean, some people make you type something in. So, like, Whole Foods drives me crazy because they ask you to type it in no matter what. I'm like, hey, I got Apple Cash. This would just be boom, and I walk away. But it generally is much faster to get approved, for it to move through. And so I just do it out of convenience. And then a lot of friends of mine and I trade money back and forth with Apple Cash. Like, just text each other money. And it feels like free money, even though it's not. Like, if someone sent you $200, you're much less likely to spend it on rent. Even though you could put it, you could push it back into your account or whatever, but you never do. You sit there and you have some great lunch, or some good coffee.
The good part about the savings thing to me is Apple's going to be able to work this into a thing, okay? So, like, in October, we're coming out with the iPad M3, and you probably have enough to buy one of these in your Apple savings because Apple Cash Card used all year.
The crazier thing is that if Apple really takes this, we've talked about this before, but if Apple takes this to the end degree, they can build a closed loop where they're lending money, we're saving money into Apple, and they're lending that money out to the people who are buying their products. There's no company in the history of the world that's been able to build a closed loop that big. So it's a pretty interesting opportunity for Apple. And it does sound like, it does now seem very much like they're sneaking up on it. Like, we're just going to add one little closed loop. Yeah. It's an infinite loop.
St. Peter, don't you call me because I can't go. I owe my soul to the Apple Store.
Absolutely. In fact, McKinsey and others say this is the biggest threat, not DeFi, the biggest threat to banks is big tech banking. Because big tech has all this information about you. It's got the convenience factor. They're just naturals.
And we the banks have not been great at keeping their relationship very, very positive with their customers. And so a lot of customers would dump them in a heartbeat. Like that's the issue, is that for big banks, you know, they would, if Apple came out with something, there's just a lot of Apple users that if they really came out with this and formalized it and, you know, they kept on adding those services, a lot of their customers will just dump out of their current bank.
Why not?
Because the banks have been really
I use USAA. About, you know. It's all digital. So it can be all digital, right? I don't need to go into an office. But one of the keys, and I wonder if Apple could do this, is I can use my ATM at any ATM, and they reimburse ATM fees. Yep. So now I have a huge ATM network. If Apple did that, I would go in a minute.
And USAA is probably the one that would hang on to people probably longer than almost anybody else because their service actually is pretty good. And, and you know, they're small. Like I'm on a co-op, you know, I'm in Redwood or whatever. And so that's an easier one.
Often,
the big ones are just...
Those community co-ops and things don't have the best software, right?
I mean, ours is pretty good. The one that I use is actually pretty good. But I will say that, like, if you're at Bank of America or whatever, they are not your friends.
Yeah.
You know, they might be friendly, but they're not your friends, and they will bury you in a heartbeat. And so the thing is that, and everyone knows that the bank will bury them, you know. And so because of that, if Apple comes out with something that, you know, we just have a much different, most Apple users have a much different relationship with Apple than they do with their bank. And there's a pretty high probability that they would keep on. You know, and Apple has the luxury of not, you know, setting the bar high. You know, you have to have an Apple card right now to do this. So it's not just Apple Cash. You have to have an Apple card. So that's they don't have to deal with as many problems as well as the banks would. So that's to their advantage as well.
Yeah, we would love to see the end of Wells Fargo. It would be a happy, happy thing.
I mean, that's the whole thing, is that these to squeeze a little bit more money out of all of us for so long, these banks have done, you know, and then we bailed them out. You know, the greatest theft of money from the poor to the rich ever.
This is the threat of big tech, though. It's certainly been the threat in streaming, is because they don't have to make money on that service. They're making money in many other ways. They can compete.
Well,
they can compete against you. And this is, in a way, is an antitrust thing, because they are so big and have so many revenue streams. How is a bank going to compete against them?
Well, the bank would have to, I mean, again, they have a lot of, the bank have a lot of advantages of infrastructure and so on and so forth that they don't have. I think that it would be hard. I think that antitrust, Apple would have to get pretty big to have to worry about antitrust with the banks, because the banks are pretty established.
Well, and they're using Goldman Sachs. So, and that's the other issue. Right. Banks are very heavily regulated. Apple doesn't want to be regulated as a bank. Well, they would let Goldman do that.
Right. And also, but Apple also probably won't get into all the crazy things that other banks do, like savings, you know, like hedge funds and, you know, all that stuff. They can just go right down the middle and just deal with people just using it and just pushing it through.
Exactly. Amazon Prime TV. It's just, it's a thing. They don't have to make money on it. It's just a thing that makes people spend money on them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Speaking of TV and streaming, you may be wondering, where do we stand with NFL Sunday Ticket? It's the last NFL package that has yet to been allocated. Apple, of course, a big bidder into this. The only remaining broadcast package that hasn't been renewed until 2030, Disney, Amazon, and others also bidding for it. And according to CNBC, the issue between Apple and the NFL is not money, of course not. It's that Apple doesn't like the restrictions the NFL puts on the networks. Apple wants to do better stuff. Eddie Q said, "We aren't interested in buying sports rights. There's all kinds of, this is at this week at the Paley Center for Media panel in New York. There's all kinds of capabilities we're going to be able to do together because we have everything together. And so if I have a great idea, I don't have to think about, okay, well, my contract or the deal of interest will allow this." In other words, he doesn't want to be constrained by the NFL as to what they can do. I'm sure that their MLS deal is much loosey-gooseier, right? Because they've got a 10-year deal with Major League Soccer, and I'm sure they can do all sorts of cool things.
They can do anything.
Yeah, and that's you've been saying,
thing.
Alex.
And so they can innovate. Yeah. I mean, that's the big thing, innovate. Is they can innovate. And, you know, the NFL is I'm sure they're bidding on, but they, you know, the MLS is much, will allow them to experiment.
Need Apple exciting. More than the NFL needs Apple. So NFL is in a much better power position.
But you know, Apple has a lot of money. You know, and so they can, that's useful for the NFL too. And so if Apple, the real exciting thing for Apple, if they're able to pull it off, is to have their foot into NFL and then innovate in MLS, innovate those, you know, and then be able to transfer those innovations in MLS to NFL, you know, within a season, would be pretty exciting for Apple. And so, and it would be pretty useful for the NFL as well. But, you know, I think that what they don't want to do is be limited to, you know, terrestrial broadcast limitations.
Roger Goodell.
And the NFL.
Go ahead.
Sorry, NFL has basically screwed up the last couple of times, right? Okay, first of all, DirecTV. There's a lot of DirecTV subscribers, and it didn't really work that well, which is why DirecTV been giving it out for free recently, right? Because the play didn't come out like they thought.
Yep.
And then they tried it with, you know, Verizon. Okay, we're going to give it to you if you get a Verizon phone, because a lot of people got Verizon phones. No, not really. Not as much as you thought, right? Yeah. So, by the way,
that thing that DirecTV was giving you for the last couple of years costs them $1.5 billion a year.
A lot. Well, right. Apple deal is looking at $3 billion right now, somewhere between $2.5 to $3 billion. So the one thing, by going to Apple directly, it's not based on a carrier that has 30% of iPhones. It's not based on a cable type, you know, replacement that has, say, 30% of households. So many people have Apple TV access. Even if you're Android, you have Apple TV access now. So the advantage of going to someone like Apple actually has a lot of weight than the NFL. But the NFL might do like the Record Association people did back in the day when we were trying to get Apple Music going. They're going to fight because they're still thinking old model, and Apple's trying to bring them to a new model. And I think actually has more power right now, because they can prove the amount of heads that they can get into. And NFL's been suffering lately, not growing. Like, Super Bowl numbers are horrible because people are just going for the commercials now. The games have been trash.
I have to say, the last couple of Monday night and Thursday night games have not been fun to watch at all.
Well, not as a Raiders fan. Last night game was like a mofo.
Yeah, I bet it did. But last night's game was not a great game at all. I don't know if the NFL's picked poorly for its national broadcasts, but I would think the NFL is the Apple of football. I mean, by which I mean they have a lot of power. They're not. I can't imagine they're hurting so badly.
You know, one stat that Apple has? One stat that Apple has that the NFL doesn't have is how many people are on their Apple devices looking for places to steal the streams so they can give them.
Well, and according to CNBC, that's another thing, is DirecTV is really hoping that whoever, I don't know how much clout they have in the negotiation because they're not bidding, well, whoever buys the rights will let them continue to sell it to bars, which is where they do make some money, or maybe even be a pass-through, so that they can give it to their customers. I don't know if that's in the equation or not.
And the problem with DirecTV is it's still got a whole bunch of blackouts. I tried to watch the Steeler game. And,
yeah.
So
NFL
so
has still made a mess, let's face it, of TV rights. They've completely made a mess.
Yep. All the blackouts that have been created around all of these things don't make any sense anymore. And whether it's MLB or NFL, it's just such a disaster as a user, you know, that I want to pay to watch a show. I want to pay to watch the Steelers get pummeled by the Bills. I mean, and I'm willing to pay for that, and I can't find a place to give them anybody money to watch it. Like, it is just, that's a disaster.
Bills lost this week, so that's okay.
It makes me feel a little better. A little better. It makes me wonder if the Chiefs are that much better than the Steelers.
Speaking of upsetting Apple TV news, the Great Pumpkin will not be on TV this year. Last year, Apple allowed NPR, or rather PBS, to broadcast it. This year, you'll have to watch it on Apple TV. Now, they are going to have three free dates. So you can watch The Great Pumpkin October 28th through 31st on Apple TV without a subscription. Is that right? Free window.
But that's still a big deal. The difference between I have an internet connection, I have a streaming box, I have all this stuff, is not as good as if I have a TV, I can share this with my kids. There are more people than you think who don't have broadband access and don't have the technology for even having a $30 dongle on a $100 TV.
So for people who have been following this, Apple bought all the Charlie Brown shows, you know, in the first couple of years, let PBS broadcasted on broadcast TV, no more broadcast TV. So I agree. This leaves a lot of people out. And that's a tradition in a lot of families. It's not just the great pumpkin. It's the Christmas special, the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. And
yeah. And it's also bad because I have to double check, but when I checked this last year, the year before, when this first became a thing, they even pulled all the stuff from purchase on like the Google Play Store, on a purchase store. You have to have a subscription in order to access this, which is absolutely the trend that's going on now, where you can no longer, I often get away with not having cable by saying, if there is a show that I really, really like Better Call Saul, great, I'll buy a season pass on whatever TV store that I want, and I'll pay $20 and get it the season for HD. And now it's like, nope, we don't even want your money. You have to subscribe to our service to get access to this. And I always wonder what the calculus is like when you are the managers of an intellectual property like the Peanuts specials, where you're like, are we willing to suddenly withdraw it from general use and put it behind this wall, which will be we can definitely see the paychecks coming in on how much that's going to pay off for us. But there's a certain amount, there's a certain degree to which you have to make sure that people are still thinking about Peanuts. People are growing up watching these specials as a tradition, so that they are even I'm like, I'm going to be home on, I'm going to be home on the Halloween. I've got like a playlist of programming that I'm going to watch. And of course the Charlie Brown special is one of them. And once you break that connection, where it just becomes a piece of old television that people have heard of but never seen, that kind of devalues the value of even these classic characters.
This is really good. Apple pulls the football out from under Charlie Brown.
I was going to say that. Chickenhead 21. Apple pulls a football out from under Charlie Brown again.
Apple to all other streamers, you get a rock.
Just Curb Your Enthusiasm for kids.
Yeah. So
I understand why the Charles Schulz estate would want to cash in and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe these shows will not be watched forever. So, but it's kind of sad.
I don't know if my kids even know what Charlie Brown is. I don't know if they have any registration.
All I'm saying is that like when I was growing up, like I had no real conscious understanding of who Mickey Mouse, the Disney characters were, because the only way you can get them is on the Disney cable channel. They weren't making them available for syndication. So for me, Bugs Bunny, they were the shiz. They were absolutely I grew up knowing these characters, loving these characters, being able to quote these characters, this being part of like my cultural heritage, these characters and these shorts. Whereas Mickey Mouse was, I would occasionally see some toys in a toy store of this character that I have heard of, but I have no idea what this character's deal is. And I would hate it if characters sort of fade off and die because they really are just like the property of a very, very walled in channel where you can't get it elsewhere. That'd be a bummer.
Mm. By the way, a little plug for our advertiser, ExpressVPN. And one of our chatters, Shutterbug, says he uses ExpressVPN, logs into Europe, the Netherlands, signs up for NFL Game Pass, and then you can watch any game.
I do that out of India. I found that Europe, I couldn't get all of them. I couldn't get all the Steeler games, but if I go through Delhi with it, the problem really is that you're still streaming from Delhi and the quality isn't
not great. Yeah. This is a side note, but Netflix crushed expectations with their quarterly results just announced, 2.41 million subscribers. So people were worried about the future of Netflix. Mm-mm. They shocked the street. So good. I'm glad. I guess everybody cares about Jeffrey Dahmer. I don't know why. I don't understand. But anyway, do you want a polished Apple Watch Ultra? I like the titanium finish, but it's matte. There is a jeweler who will sell you a shined up one. You like that?
That's pretty nice. Crazy.
Yeah. This is Debilis Lux Watch Plating Pros. They're a jeweler in Arizona. It's not cheap, doubles the price of the Apple Watch, but it does look very pretty. I guess they have to strip off the coating and then polish it up I don't think they have to.
I just wanted to show you on a different angle.
I don't want to. I hope they don't have to take it apart. I don't know. I don't know.
They kind of. I don't know. They kind of have to.
Yeah, it looks nice.
You think so? I think they could just put liquid mass on the glass and then polish it with the.
Maybe that's it. The watch started as a new Apple Watch Ultra made out of titanium, dull silver finish, electro-treated to remove previous finish, including the orange button color, and then deep polished for the mirror finish. So you lose your orange button thing. It's a stealth. Oh, no, maybe they paint it back on because there it is on maybe. That one.
I just don't see myself doing that.
I'm happy with my watch. I'm not gonna get it buffed.
I will say something. There are people who are like posting like, oh my god, I've had this new Ultra watch for just like 4 days, and look at all the nicks and scratches on the paint or the coating of the thing. And number one, this is supposed to be a watch that like bears its. Yeah. You want one with good honest wear that says you're out there adventuring. But if there are people who are wearing it just as sort of a stylish watch. If it looks like it's been baffed up, like after 6 or 7 months, maybe that is something that those consumers would get upset about. And maybe a treatment like this would make it look a little bit better.
I'm sad that mine is not dinged up. Clearly, I have not been.
Yeah.
I have not been living up to its aspirations.
The people that do that are the people that buy a Land Rover and then like drop it to the ground. I'm like, you could have picked any vehicle in the world, but the one that's designed to climb mountains, you like lowered it. So they need to go away.
Do people really lower Range Rovers? That's crazy.
Yes.
That's just nuts.
Range Rover is bad enough. The Land Rover is worse because that's the one that's a legit beast, right? Like it's a $100,000 rock crawler, and then you just shrink it to the ground, you know. For coolness, I guess.
If you're going to do that, buy the $300,000 Cadillac and just get it over with, you know?
Well, but maybe that's another opportunity. So you have this jeweler who can like strip it off and make it look more like a stylish sort of like polished watch. Maybe like for $900, they will take it and they will ding it up specifically so that it looks like you've been rock climbing. You look like you've been dying with it. Like they can call it the stolen Valor edition.
Love it. Apple Watch, the stolen Valor edition. Meta has to sell Jiffy.
This gets into like I did ask my daughter. I was like, "Are the gifts out?" She's like, "Oh yeah,
that's awesome."
So I was like, "Meta has to give up something that no one cares about anymore."
UK antitrust watchdog says you can't have it. So nobody uses it. I tell you what, we use animated gifs like crazy in the Discord.
I love it, but I asked that. You know, my gauge is always when I'm hanging out with my kids. I'm like, okay, so. Is oof a thing? And they're like, no, that's over too. You know, like you can't. That's like I still say it, but I'm like, but I just got used to it, and I just got into gifts, and I've got really creative about it.
I know. It's but, sad.
Alex, yeah. have you ever considered that maybe like your kids just want to keep the old man off of like their favorite social media?
I read it on the internet, and I confirmed it with the kids, and they confirmed that that's old.
Jason O'Grady comes this leaked Apple memo. O'Grady's power page. Now that we know the way to O'Grady's power page, we're going to have more O'Grady's stories in here. Leaked Apple memo acknowledges iPhone 14 SIM card software error. Per leaked memo, the company says some users of its iPhone 14, 14 Plus, 14 Pro, and 14 Pro Max may see an error saying SIM not supported on their device, and then the unit freezes. Apple says it's investigating the issue, notes it's not a hardware problem, adding that customers should keep their software up to date. I don't know how you would do that once your phone is frozen. Meantime, they advise you wait a few minutes to see if the message disappears. Should the message remain, Apple says, do not attempt to restore the device. Go to the Apple Store or an authorized service provider. The issue can be resolved. I presume there will be an update with iOS 16.1. So
yeah, that's fine. The iPhone 14, and the 14 Pro, it's been relatively drama free as a
it has actually. Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's good news for
now. We don't know how many people this is affecting. All right. I think, let's see what else. I think, the one other thing I guess is I don't even know how important this is. But Apple has apparently had to put on hold using memory chips from Yangtze Memory Technologies. This is subsequent to the U.S. government's restriction on all Chinese chip technology. So Apple does use those memory chips in its iPhones, or was planning to. I'm sure they have an alternative choice, but yeah, just
that was an expensive move, because once you certify stuff to go into an iPad, that is a lot of work.
Yeah,
and also it's another supplier of memory that is often what can constrain availability of the hardware itself. If there's a limited availability of memory, that's a big problem for all the way down the supply chain. So yeah, that's an interesting move. Apple's probably not happy about that.
All right, we'll take a little break. When we come back, your picks of the week. Please, gentlemen, prepare them. Meanwhile, a word from our sponsor, the folks I love at IT Pro TV. We have been friends with Don and Tim since they started IT Pro TV 9 years ago. And I've just watched them just grow and do so well. They've been advertising on our shows since then, but I don't want to take credit for it. I think they just have a great product. And because they have 7 studios now, we went out to their grand opening in Gainesville a couple of years ago, running Monday through Friday all day, the content and the training at IT Pro TV is always up to date. They do it kind of like we do. You can watch live, you can chat with them live, and then they put those training sessions into their huge on-demand library, 5,800 hours of IT training. Whether you are looking to get into IT, and of course that means you got to get those initial certs so that you can get that first job, or you're already in IT and you want to get better at it, recertify, get a new job, or even if you've got an IT team and you want to develop them, IT Pro TV is the place, the virtual learning place for everyone. They focus on hands-on learning via their hosted virtual labs. You don't even have to have, you know, a Windows machine to become a Windows expert, because they do it all with HTML5 browsers. They have an online community of IT learners that now has topped 220,000 people. So it's more than just these lessons, these instructions. It's a great community with forums. And of course, the instructors are in there. You can engage with them as well. And can I give a plug for these instructors? They're fantastic. All professionals, really expert in their field. But they also have a passion for that. So they're not dryly going through material that you have to know. They are engaging. They are fun. They share their passion. And as a result, you share it with them. IT Pro makes it very easy to learn. You can learn when and where you want, on a desktop, on a tablet, on an Apple TV, on a Roku. You can all the episodes are 20 to 30 minutes long, so you can watch them during a break, during a lunch hour. They even have searchable transcripts, so you can find what you want and zero right in on that particular info. A great way to, you know, kind of brush up for recertifying. You know, I need to get a little more in this area. Every month, IT Pro TV offers free webinars you can watch, whether live if you want to ask questions or on demand. October, Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So you can catch the following IT Pro TV webinar coming up October 20th on Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern. That's this Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern. All things cybersecurity with Tim Medin, who's the CEO of Red Siege Information Security. So that will be good. Daniel Lowry will be hosting that. That's going to be very, very good. A chance to ask your questions, to learn. Tim Broom, who's one of our great friends, we love Tim, co-founder, says, we want to make life easier for people who want an IT career. That was the mission statement. It's as easy as that. We want to make it easier for you to get an IT career and to advance in your IT career. I think this is the best way to learn. Get 30% off when you sign up right now, itpro.tv/MacBreak. The offer code is MacBreak30. 30% off, itpro.tv/MacBreak. Offer code MacBreak30. IT Pro TV. Build or expand your IT career and enjoy the journey. There's Don Pezet, one of the founders, too. He's so great. I love the team there. itpro.tv/MacBreak. If you want to get in IT, if you are in IT and you want to get better at it, there is no better place to learn. itpro.tv/MacBreak. pick of the week time. Our special guest, Doc Rock, gets to kick things off. And Doc, it's okay to mention Ecamm. I know you don't like to pick Ecamm, but you could. You can. Isn't there something new from Ecamm? Just let's get a little plug in.
We're working on it. We're in beta right now, but the beta is public, so people can try it. But we are about to release version 4.0, which is going to bring isolated audio and video recording. We already have isolated audio, but the dope part about ISO video is going to mean in a show like ours, I could have a video track for each one of us lovely elderly men, and I don't have to ask people to do a double ender, which is, you know, old school term for I record it on my side and upload the file scene kind of thing. That's old school thinking. So we're bringing some of that action to the table, and now we are supporting up to 10 guests, so people just call in through the link, similar to like we do here on the Z Word. Basically, you would just hit my link and call straight in.
Nice.
So you know, a lot more control. But that's all coming up very soon. But that's not my pick of the week.
I know it isn't. I wanted to give you a plug.
I appreciate it.
Doc works with them.
Thank
and
you.
You know, I think it's a great product. Many of us here at Twit use it. So I know that's what they do.
It was really cool that Scooter mentioned in the chat.
Yeah.
Scooter mentioned in the chat because somebody was asking about getting stuff out of an iPhone. And it's like, yeah, there's this cool program called PhoneView from Ecamm. I was like, I know some people over there.
Yeah, actually, but we recommend PhoneView all the time. That's a great product. They're still doing it because it's not like featured on their page anymore. So. Good.
And it's still around. It's been still around forever. That and Skype call recorder, been around forever.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alec, the funny thing is, I'm not going to spoil you, but I got your pig yesterday. I literally just needed it, and I found it yesterday, and I'm in love with it. Anyway, so this is the MV88 Plus. This is from Shure. And for people that are making this smaller content for your IG, your TikTok, your Instagram, your Twitters, or even just your own video content, basically what it is it's a microphone from Shure. As you know, they make really quality mics. It fits right on top of your phone, comes with this whole little contraption with the Manfrotto Pixie and the little adapter, comes with the requisite cable. You can put your headphones in here. What I like about this guy is it has adjustable patterns. So if I'm doing an interview, I will go like this, turn it sideways, switch it from stereo or monocardioid. I can switch it into a bidirectional cardioid. And so it'll pick up both sides. So I can talk here, record myself, but this camera is recording that person. So in a program like, you know, Filmic Pro Double Take or whatever they call it, that would be able to work. But it has really nice EQ compression stuff all built in. It really changes the way the audio sounds on your mobile recordings. It's not super expensive. And I think it's a big, big upgrade if you're doing a lot of recording using your mobile device. And you don't need a rig to chase a car jumping up, you know, Polk Avenue in San Fran, like the iPad. But it's really, really incredible. Comes with everything you need. Rolls up into a little chef sleeve like such. And it has been super handy over, you know, the last 2 months of traveling.
Nice.
It sounds fantastic.
I might have to get this for Henry. This looks good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Henry would love this.
Well, as you know, his video sound is really important, you know. He uses some like off-brand shotgun mic that I've never even heard of. but his sound is like
the biggest part of what he's doing. And once you know the difference, it sounds way better.
You think so?
Tell Henry to email Uncle, and I can put him in contact with someone that's sure that might be able to help him because he has a decent-sized following.
Oh, my God. He gets everything free now. I was looking. He's got like 10 lights around. I said, where'd you get those? He said, they just met the guy at the party. He sent them over. It's like, what? Everything's free now. You get to a certain point in an influencer status, and you don't. This always bugs me. Rich people get free stuff. Normal poor people, we got to pay for everything. Rich people, they give them everything free. They don't need it. We need it. Give it to us. Okay, sorry.
It's so true.
It's really silly. So true. It's crazy. Andy Inoko, we'll get to Alex's pick in a bit. But first, Andy Inoko, your pick of the week.
I have to share the love.
You have to show us the
David,
Bowie.
David Bowie 75 sticker. You can actually, when I find it, I don't know about you guys, but like when I when I'm in a store or like online and I see a sticker that I really, really like, I have to buy like a half dozen of them. Otherwise, if I buy just one, I'll like think, oh, that'd be great for my MacBook. Then I'll get home and say, but if I put it on the MacBook, I won't be able to put it on. I'll save it until I find the perfect place, and then I never use it. I want the
Rebel sticker. I like your NASA sticker, but boy, wouldn't that be nice on a laptop?
Yeah, yeah. This is why I go to store.davidbowie.com. They have a big range of really, really cool stickers. So I had to reorder that Bowie sticker because I wound up, people would see it on my laptop and they come in to visit.
Well, they have patches too. Ooh.
I'd want to give them like one of my extras, but yeah, they have patches. They have.
And just
have
in time for the holidays. Dave and Bing.
David Bing.
A rumpa pum pum. Yeah, baby.
And to make this like qualify for like a Mac or Apple pick of the week, they do have Apple Watch bands in both leather and elastomer rubber. Look at the second link down there.
Or
search for Apple Watch. They also have, of course, iPhone cases, but I think the watch bands are pretty damn cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's something about,
dude, golly. This is really cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm a
See,
huge
we were
Bowie
just talking
fan.
About how to let everybody know that you're, you know, a gentleman of a certain vintage. Yeah, put a Bowie sticker or anything.
Yeah,
of class, of distinction. Also, you notice that like they make sure that if you want the thin white Duke Bowie, they got a sticker for the thin white Duke Bowie. You want the thin machine Bowie, they got the
it's
thin
all
machine
the Bowies.
Bowie.
It's the you know you whatever want, Bowie you start, need.
You want the Aladdin Sane Bowie?
Yeah. Boom. I saw the Thin White Duke show in Oakland many moons ago.
Man.
That was an incredible,
so good,
incredible show. Yeah. I wouldn't mind a little Ziggy Stardust sticker on my laptop. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. Store.davidbowie.com. All proceeds go to Imam. I don't know where they go, but
and they're cheap too. Like it's a $3 sticker.
$2. Yeah. It's a big sticker too, that NASA Bowie sticker. That's huge.
Yeah, no, I mean again, it covers up like pretty much everything. They also have a patch. I bought the patch too because I really wanted to like get a NASA jumpsuit and just make it, just Bowie it out.
Bowie it out, baby. All right, Alex.
The Bowie 75 jacket. Oh my God, this is.
Oh wait a minute, jacket. Oh man.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Oh wow, I would look so silly if I were wearing this stuff though. I mean, talk about an old man. I mean, that's crazy.
I'm sorry, you mispronounced the word awesome. It's awesome.
Awesome. A Major Tom t-shirt might be kind of cool though, huh?
That's well
the, you know what's the, funny the pro- watching kids wear old band t-shirts and then they don't know what the band
they
really
don't know
is
what
but
is.
they buy them. They have them everywhere. They sell them at Target and stuff. And they have their. Why is this kid wearing a Led Zeppelin t-shirt? What's Led Zeppelin? Oh, I don't know. I just like the t-shirt. I'm like,
yeah. As one of my sisters once said, it's not a fun thing to realize that the music that you once got beaten up for listening to in high school is now being used to advertise waffle irons. It's like
so you want the? Are you going for the black velvet tour jacket? Is that the one you're going for, Doc?
I was looking at the red one, but that's cool too.
Yeah.
Again, I wouldn't look, you know, super cool in it, but
that's the
I,
problem. I you like know, it. These models look really good in them. You and me, maybe not so much. Alex Lindsay.
Yeah, boy became my boy doing Let's Dance. Sorry.
Let's dance. Put on your red shoes and dance the blues. Alex Lindsay. Oh, look, a David Bowie bow tie. Just a little lightning
and bow tie.
It's exactly. Very subtle. It's just a little lightning.
You're just giving off a shibboleth to other Bowie fans to simply point sign. At you and go,
yep.
Dude.
It's the hand sign, the secret signal. that's kind of awesome. Alex Lindsay, your pick of the week.
Yeah, so I have, for my work, I've been using a lot of QR codes. And it's been a little bit like I'm trying to save everybody a little trouble. With the QR codes. You'll search QR codes and what you'll see is a bunch of URLs that'll let you create QR codes for free. And then when you do that, just remember they're pushing them through them to your URL. and then they'll want you to pay for it and pay them ongoingly. You're giving up all your privacy. You're giving up everybody
terrible.
Who uses it privacy.
Yeah.
It's really a sham. And so what you want to do is buy an app that does this. And on the Mac, there's a thing called QR Factory, which is what I use to build these. So so this is QR Factory, and I think I can actually put a QR. So the big thing is that if you you can put up this little QR code on the bottom, and people can use that. And the big thing is that you own it. And of course, I got to move it. See, like this is hold on, let me watch this. Oh, I was going to move it.
Let's dance. Oh, that's cool.
So anyway,
that's cool. Now you could put a logo in there or something, right?
You can put a logo in the center. You can put text below it. You can do, you can redesign it. You can make it more robust or less robust if you're, it depending on how complicated. The big thing is to keep them as simple as possible. So if you're going to do a QR code, what you want to do is I use a shortener like Bitly, but I also just build mostly for work. What I do is I go to Hover. I get a new URL that is something really short, dot something. That kind of makes sense for the show. And then I, for $7, I just build that. And then we would build redirects from there. That way we kind of own the whole pipeline. But this is the best one I found on the Mac. And it gives you lots of options. You might have calendars, you might have URLs, text, social, all those things that you want to create. And so, those are it really gives you the control that you want to build these out. And so,
let me just scan the code that Alex has put up on the screen. I'm just really curious.
It is a serious.
What, Alex?
It is a serious recommendation. I just want to say before
if it's a music video, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Oh my golly gosh!
There you go. Okay.
Well, you had to do it. So anyway, here's the funny thing. The reason I got into this, the reason I brought it up, was
can I just say that Rick Froling is the dad jokes of QR codes.
It's great though. It's so great. So what happened was a Twitter. So in all seriousness, I build QR codes with QR Factory. This is what I use. I just thought it'd be fun to have some. I couldn't think of what to put in here, so I put this in because someone had talked about on Twitter talked about it. They crocheted a QR code to Rickroll people and then just put it behind them in their set. And they said when they're in a meeting, almost every meeting, someone gets hit with it, because they're curious what the crochet is. And I was like, I have to do that for my new set. So when I eventually do something other than gray, I'll do that. So anyway, it is it's a good tool. It gives you all the tools all the things you need. And again, it's just hard to find something that is going to actually generate the link and it shows you the raw code and you're not going through something else. Now it is a subscription. I think it's like $15 a year or something. So, it works really well. It's solid. It'll output EPS, PDF, as well as TIFF and ping. So you can have transparency, but you can also send it out to what I'm planning to do, which is send it out to a router to route out, to route out the whole thing so that I can have a little plaque in the back that people can either, it'll just look like part of the background. But, if you're looking for QR, don't use the web. Don't use the web.
Yeah. How hard would it be to write? I got to look at the QR code.
It's pretty easy to write.
Is it?
Alex is right. I was basically going to redo a code, and I had recently did one, and it worked out fine. Everybody liked it. It was a really pretty code. So I go back to go make a next one, and they're like, oh, the first one, the one you had is expired, doesn't work. You can't delete it.
Yeah.
And to make the next one is $40 a month. And I was like, words I can't say on the stream. So I went looking.
And I speak from experience. This is
all
why
of these
I'm
sites
like,
are the same.
Yeah.
Right.
They get you.
All of these sites are the same. Here's the funny thing. So QR Monkey and a bunch of the other ones that are out there that do this stuff for free. If you look at the bottom, they're all from the same basic place.
Yeah.
Right. So they look like they're competitors, but they're the same thing reskinned in about 20 different sites. And so I go, wait a minute. QR code is not very hard to generate. And back in 1994, when Masahiro from Denso made it up, it was something that we used to just write in code before. So I went looking and I found this Turnbelly thing yesterday.
And you can do it. You can do it. Definitely do it with a terminal. The main thing is this one just gives you a nice GUI that you can sit there and do all the things you want to do and change the things you want and throw the things in. And you don't have to. It's really quick and easy. And especially if you want to customize it a little bit, make it a little rounded, add that logo, add the other things. It's just a lot easier to do it for the money. It's a pretty good tool. But to your point, that's exactly what I got caught in. And we had somebody in office hours who put that QR code on their business card.
Oh,
and now they have to pay that subscription because all those people have business cards, so really whether you're using this one or another one, make sure that you're using one that's generating a direct link to whatever you want it to go to. And again, I like to do it through a through a link so that I control that link and I can keep on redirecting it wherever I want it to go. So it's not going to the raw location, but you may decide you don't want to use something like Bitly or something like that, but you can build a URL that bounces it to where you want it to go.
And if you're a programmer, there are Python. I bet there's AppleScript. There's lots of ways to generate QR codes if you don't want to use
side note,
paid ones.
One side note that this is the best way to do it because you do absolutely want to control the URL. You want to make sure that not only you're not paying a subscription fee, but also that the traffic that you are creating is not being sent through a third party. Yes. If you do have to get something in a pinch and you don't have time to search for whatever, there is a QR code generator as the standard export sheet in Google Chrome. Obviously, Google will know what that URL is, but of all the options that are not as good as anonymity, Google already knows who you are. Google already knows where you've been. So again, in a pinch, if you decide that I just need to spit out a QR code, I don't have time to find the right tool, you probably already have one.
Canva does it too now if you need something really quickly. But trust me, I think this thing is with Alex Pick is dope. And the reason why I went and did the subscription, everything, being able to insert a logo and like you make them colorize for various different prints and things like that. That's where it comes in handy because it's really weird that the U.S. is catching this now. When I was in college back in 06, QR code was everywhere and you did it for everything. When we got it to iPhone, everybody made these weird apps that they wanted you to pay for to be able to scan the code. So finally, Apple and Android build it into the camera. And then now here it is way late, you know, almost 20 years later, the U.S. is like, oh, look, QR codes. It's a thing. And it's like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I thought these will never take off. This is a terrible idea. This is as bad as, you know, the cute cat and barcodes. But it really has taken off. It's everywhere.
As soon as Apple put it in the phone. Like, that's the power that Apple has. Yeah. As soon as Apple put it into the iPhone, into the camera app, where you can just pick it up and take a picture, Absolutely. Everything took off. Like, it just...
Ditto. Yeah. Did it for Android. Like, just the ability to... It's so good for everybody, because there's a poster for... There's a Banksy exhibit in New York City that closes in a couple months. Didn't have time to see it when I was in New York last week, but I saw the poster for it. I might not necessarily have stopped long enough to write down the information or really actioned on it apart from taking a picture. But hey, look, there's a QR code on the poster. Beep. Okay, great. Now I've got the bookmark. Now I've got all the details. Great. I move on. And when it's there, it's there. It's just it's clumsy. It's like the uniform. It's like the uniform resource locator. It's not pretty. It's not terribly user efficient, but damn, it's a standard that everybody appreciates and understands. That's what makes it powerful. The people, the fact that everybody uses it.
It's so easy because we put it on big screens, and on those big screens, we just put if you want to ask a question, just put it there and boom, the response is so high.
Like after you watch this video that we thought it would be so funny to link you to because it's 19.
I love it. What was it? The dad joke of the internet?
It is the dad joke of the internet. It's like, oh God.
I put the link in the rundown, Leo, but it's the story of the Rickroll. Yeah. And I literally just watched this on Saturday. It's a really good story. And what's amazing is Rick embraced it and he's a dope cat. Like it's funny because I've known about him being the butt of this joke for so long. But like seeing that interview for the first time, I've seen him interviewed in forever. He's a legitimately dope cat, and it's worth the watch.
It is the story of the Rickroll is actually really
dope
good.
Cat.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever that is.
Show title.
Sorry.
See, I already made a graphic for the show title. So of micro bacon.
Micro bacon. We're gonna have to fight over that. You made a micro. Let's see micro bacon. Oh, geez.
That is show. Good.
Me and Mid Journey, we sat and we made a micro bacon.
I'd probably want to cook that another 5 minutes on high.
I should have typed that into Diffusion Bay and see what it came up
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
That's funny because I already made a QR code for micro bacon. So there.
There you go.
Scan that, buddy. So, this is a Python script, by the way, that you can download and make QR codes. It's not as cute and fun as your pick, which is a wonderful pick, but this is just running it on your computer. Let me see if it works.
I don't know.
Yep.
I think that
if you scan it, it says search micro bacon.
And it comes out with crispy microwave.
I'll show you how you do this. You can do this in your command line. QR, what should we do? Alex, Lindsay is the dad joke of the internet. And then we send that out to Alex Ping. And there you go. And then just open that Alex Ping up in the QR code. And let's see, scan that. What does it say? Fun with QR codes, ladies and gentlemen. It's interesting. It gets bigger the more you put in there. It's kind of fun.
Dad jokes with Wayne Butler.
There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes.
The next one.
What? What did you get?
It pulled up a picture of Alex from Cold Twit. Wait,
that's great. There you go. That worked great. It worked great. It's exactly how it's supposed to work. See, QR codes. Will the fun never end?
We can't have nice things.
Never thought I'd say that. That's Andy Anako. When are you going to be on WGBH in Boston next?
I'm off this week, but I'm on next Thursday a day early at 12:45 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to WGBHnews.org to stream it live or later, or go to WGBH News on YouTube to watch the video in much the same sort of set and surroundings, only I don't wear my headphones because I don't know, because I can suffer with earbuds for like a half an hour. I also, if you want to see me without the hat, without the earphones, good opportunity, but same backdrop.
And Andy's hat today is a memento from the Hayward Fire Department.
Yes, a listener actually sent me a job coat. Was the warmest thing I own. And it's like when the hate goes out, this is like great stuff. And this hat, which I realized belatedly that I have to be careful wearing outside, because I only belatedly realized, oh, people might think that I'm an actual firefighter.
Hey, there's a fire over there. Quick.
Wow.
I think the sideburns say firefighter. They say 1882 firefighter, but they say firefighter. Maybe. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Andrew.
Well, which is great. 1882, it means great. What's your insurance coverage for this fire? Because I'm only the private fire company.
Private fire company, exactly.
Omaha Insurance.
Mr. Alex Lindsay, 090.media or officehours.global. What have you been talking about these days?
So today we talked about presentations, and I talked about, you know, not using so much text.
Thank you. Let's do some pitches.
Oh, thank you.
Pitches. Yeah. I was like, let's not do that. We had a good time with that. And then we had a great conversation yesterday about esports, like what's the business? You know, what's the business of esports and how does it work? And then tomorrow
you're
we're
branching
talking about
out quite a bit from just media production. I mean,
We go to different things. So, we have Mondays are kind of more business oriented. Tuesdays and Wednesdays are a little, you know, Tuesdays are can be, you know, general projects. Wednesdays are audio, so we're doing Dante. Thursdays, yeah, we're doing Dante. I mean, we're doing Loopback on Thursday just because the people that we needed were there. And then on Friday, we're talking about avoiding production disasters with someone who works on disasters. Like, this is what he does.
I want to see that one. That's fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's a little bit of everything. Education on Saturdays, and that's always a good one. So we're trying to kind of, we look at all the things you use media for and how they, you know, in every way. And we, we try to make that available to our
keep doing this because when I retire, I'm going to just take, you know, you can tell me how to set it up, and I'm just going to have a, you know, hanging with Leo, and we'll just sit around in my jammies and tell stories and play checkers. It'll be fun.
Yeah. No, it's I learn something every day.
Yeah.
Like every single day. I've done like 900 and some times.
It's like a clubhouse. It's great.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really
officehours.global. And thank you so much. I love seeing you, Doc Rock. You've always been a great resource for all sorts of stuff. Now we know how the Apple genius thinks. YouTube.com/DocRock. He's on Ecamm. He's on the Twitter as DocRock. What else is up? Anything you want to plug?
Man, I've just been busy working on this new podcasting show with my co-host Katie. She also works with me at Ecamm. She's our marketing director. But we're basically talking to people who are wanting all of this time to get into the podcasting game but didn't really know where to start or afraid of the tech or whatever. So we call it the flow, and it's basically how to go from conception to getting your podcast out. Because those of us that have been doing this forever, this is just fun. We always known it, but so many new people are jumping in the game and they don't know how great it is. So I'm happy to see more people finally getting into podcasting and sharing their stories. So we wanted to give them an easy way to do so. And so, yeah, come and check us out on The Flow.
The Flow. Find it wherever better podcasts are stored.
Yep. My line is wherever podcast getting is got.
Getting is got. Get the gotten. Nice. Do you start off saying do not try to make money in podcasting? I hope you say that. Right up front.
Yeah, I keep trying to tell people that.
That is a great goal to set. You will definitely achieve that goal. You can work up from there, but achieve the goal. Set the goal of not making any money at this.
I had a great conversation with somebody revere, a great radio legend. We were going back and forth, all sorts of exciting ideas. And then I mentioned just offhandedly, you know, there's no money in this. And I haven't heard from him since. So, it's probably the thing you should say up front, I guess, is what I'm saying. There's no money in this.
Yes, people misunderstand that. They think because of Serial and, you know, a couple of the other things that came out, like, this is a lot of money. And I was like, nah, man, and the Joe Rogan thing is different. And so what we've been teaching, which is funny because I still say you're one of the very first pioneers, I'm teaching people to start with live video and then pull your podcast from that.
Oh.
You've always done it this way. And when we figured out, 18 years running?
18 years.
It's the thing that has... So my speaking engagements this last couple of months at Content Marketing World and Podcast Movement and People of Video was teaching people to start with video first from a podcast perspective. And I swear your name came up so often. It's kind of funny. And I'm like, yeah, because Leo's been doing it since day one. And it is probably the best way because how we can see each other when we conversate.
I love it.
It's a much more convenient way to do it. Now, back in the day, you needed to have an Alex around to set all this stuff up. But nowadays, thanks to Ecamm and our contemporaries, anybody can do this now. So, yeah, time to get in, people.
Although, ironically, it was 2005. Alex Lindsay and I did the first Mac Breaks as video.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
That's correct.
It was nuts. But it was video first. And then I said, well, can we do a audio-only podcast, Mac Break Weekly? And Alex very kindly let us do that. And then eventually, like by 2008, we went back and started doing video again, but not the high quality video that Alex does.
It was funny when we did the the first one came out really fast, you know, because we shot it all with an EX1 and it was just all handheld. And Emery Wells and Amber MacArthur.
Amazing.
And Leo so we covered the Mac world, and then that week we shot 20 some episodes, but I didn't realize how much trouble keying 1080 444 footage in 2005 would be, and took a long time. And so the episode 2 is the road to 1080p because Leo was like, I'm getting these angry emails of
where
is the next episode? You know, I was like, I'm going to get one out here's one. And that's still the most popular.
Does that first episode exist anywhere? Is it on YouTube?
I think
it's on YouTube, I think. Yeah. But yeah. I
remember the old episodes from back then.
Yeah. I remember walking through Mac World Expo. It tells you how old it was. Through Mac World Expo with Emery, and that was really fun. I think Brandon was also
shooting.
The year
after that, the next year we had Justine. I think Justine was on the next one.
Yep.
Yeah. That's good.
Those were the days, my friends. Yep. There's no money in podcasting. Don't look at what other people are doing.
There's so many great show titles today.
There's a lot of money in podcasting, just like there's a lot of money in the lottery.
Yeah, exactly. That's a better way to put it. Some people are making money.
It all goes in. It's how do you get it out?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Every single time I've started podcasts with people, my mindset has always been, I will do this I will expect to make absolutely no money on this for 1 year.
Right.
And after 1 year, I get to decide whether, hey, look, we're actually making money, or B, I'm enjoying this enough that this is a good use of my time and I don't mind not making any money off it. So yeah, this is definitely a long-term investment of time.
So it is on our Mac Break feed, episode 1 from January 27th, 2006. Oh, but I think this is ours, right?
This is the problem. There's so many accessories.
This is yours? This is yours? because it has the music and everything. Yeah. I didn't realize
that's Mac Break One.
We've had that music ever since.
Yep.
Wow. There's Amber.
Bruh.
This was all your. This was your production.
Yeah, yeah.
I shouldn't show this because you're probably embarrassed at this point.
No, it's
by how dark your hair is.
I know exactly.
First episode. Yay! Dude, I remember
good to
these.
See you here. I'm Leo.
Oh my God, they were
this is
so
the
good.
Of something I'm very excited about. A bi-weekly, maybe even more often, Macintosh show. All Macs, all the times.
Bi-weekly?
Yeah,
bi-weekly?
We were optimistic.
Wow. Dude, thank you so for good. Finding that. Patrick Delahanty put it up in the. Discord. That is one way.
It somewhere. I'm not.
We are subsidizing, not making money, but subsidizing our efforts, keeping the lights on, keeping the staff employed, is with our Club Twit, and that's where the Discord lives. If you're not a Club Twit member, I want to just put in a plug here. My pick of the week, $7 a month, get all of our shows ad-free, get shows that are not yet publicly released, like Hands on Mac with Micah Sargent, Hands on Windows with Paul Thurrott, The Untitled Linux Show with Jonathan Bennett, The GizFizz with Dick DiBartolo. All of these are in the club only. You also get access to the Discord, which is so much fun. So much fun. It is more than just talking about the shows that are ongoing. It is talking about all sorts of stuff, from gaming. We have our own Minecraft servers to beer making and everything geeks are into. Plus, you get the Twit Plus feed with material that did not appear on any other platform for most of the time, for good reason. If you're interested, twit.tv/club. It really helps us keep everything going. And I hate to be glum, but advertisers in our area anyway are getting very nervous about the future economy. And so there's been a sudden drop off in advertising revenue. And in fact, I think next year looks particularly bleak. So this club is becoming more and more important to our future survival. If you like Twit and you want to see Twit continue in the years to come, twit.tv/club. We appreciate it. Next week, This Week in Rice Cookers will be our new show. Right, Doc? It's going to be great fun.
That's exactly
KFC. Yeah, that one.
I know.
It's coming
That's
soon.
Why I want to do office hours, yeah. Because, you just do whatever you're interested in is the deal on that, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have advertisers or anything.
No.
It's just a labor of love.
Yeah,
pretty impressive.
Well, your entire episode, do you realize that Roger Ebert wrote an entire book on cooking in a rice cooker?
I have it.
What?
Not just rice.
Yeah. What?
Because he was a big fan. Like I would go to his house, and he has this amazing kitchen, and then there'd be this like dollar store like rice cooker making stew. And
I have.
I'm
his
buying
book,
it,
and I have a rice cooker that is dedicated to only cooking stuff that's not rice. So it's like because I didn't want to mix and match them. So I have one that's a rice cooker. But yeah, it's a great book.
Yep, the pot and how to use it, the mystery. And romance of the, and it's written like Roger Ebert writes, so you'll enjoy it even if you think that's insane.
It's really good.
That is crazy. I'm sending this to my Katie right now, my partner in crime. I'm gonna send this to her because she would just crack up laughing because
Karen
she
Yoko
used to be publishing. No, that's the wifey. Katie's my boss technically, but she's not. She used to publish cookbooks. And so it'll be funny when she sees that Roger Ebert actually had a rice cooker cookbook.
And this is the rice cooker you told me to get. And I just thought I'd mention this because it's not too expensive. It's a small one. It's 3 cups, which is enough rice for a family of 5. I mean, that's a lot of rice. And it just does everything, including steel cut oatmeal, sushi rice. And I make gaba brown rice in it all the time. And it's just the best tasting stuff. And then you also told me to get some rice. Let me go look at my orders and find the rice. Because it's a Japanese rice, and it's the best rice. It's so good. It's not brown, unfortunately, but it's so good. This is the Shirakiku rice from Koshi Hikari.
Koshi Hikari. Oh, that's pretty good, Leo.
hai, wakaremashita. That looks, it's really good, I have to say, but you do have to wash it off because it's polished. Does your unpolished rice place sell online or no? You have to go down.
Yeah,
go down to Honolulu.
Rice, I think they sell online because you can ship a bag of rice. Look up Rice Factory Honolulu. I forget exactly what their link is. It might even be ricefactoryhawaii.com or something. But yeah, they'll do it for you.
Rice Factory Honolulu. It's the -rice-factory-honolulu.square.site.
Crazy.
It's a terrible, terrible URL.
They need a QR code.
Oh, exactly. Do they sell, though? Oh, this is just their store. Ooh, look at this. Look at this.
Well, pick what you want. I'll send it to you, dang it, because it's worth it.
No,
it's
they ship.
Right there, free shipping. There you go.
Yep, flat rate, $20. They have a New York branch. Just ordered from the New York branch, TRF-NY, and you can order from them. Look at that, a whole store dedicated to the one and only gluten-free
mainstay
of Asian food. Well, they have barley, too. Okay, you got me. Look at this.
Sorry.
Look at this. You got even like a graph to show you on the tough to soft and sticky to smooth.
Okay, so axes. My favorites on this page right here, the Yume Pidikoff from Hokkaido. It's really hard to explain how amazing it is. And I normally
it's
really good. You could eat that sucker just plain. It's slightly sweeter, but not like sugary sweet. Like it's just a nice. Yeah, it's hard to explain, but it's really, really good. Really good with curry or stew.
Oh,
any curry or stew, you just add that. It's good. And then the second Koshihikari that was on that page is really good.
Oh, and you can choose on any of them how you want it milled. So that's what you were telling me. So you say you get 10%.
So you go to 30.
30? Go all the way to 30.
So it's still brown for the, you know, the doctor, but it's not like crunchy brown rice. And, it's so good.
So you've seen, ladies and gentlemen, the first episode of This Week in Rice coming soon to a podcast near you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Doc, I love you. Andy,
thank you.
Alex, you guys rock. It's great to have you all. We'll see you next time. Meanwhile, I'm sorry to say you have to get back to work because break time is over. See you next time.
I'm Jason Howell. What do you get your favorite geek who already has everything? Well, I know just the thing. It's a Club Twit gift subscription, of course. Twit podcasts keep them informed and entertained with the most relevant tech news and podcasts available. And with a Club Twit subscription, they get even more. They get access to all of our podcasts ad-free, the members-only Discord, exclusive outtakes, behind-the-scenes, and special content, and exclusive shows like Hands on Mac, Hands on Windows, and the Untitled Linux Show. You can purchase your Geek's Gift at twit.tv/clubtwit, and they're going to thank you every day for it.